Sportsnet Radio Network, and good morning, everybody. I'm Roger Lajoie here on the Holiday Monday. Great to be with you until 1 o'clock. And we got a full lineup for you today. And thanks for logging us in, listening in, wherever you are in the country today. I'm Roger Lajoie, and coming up, we're going to talk about the Blue Jays. We're going to talk about Kyle Lowry a lot today. Will it be in retrospect? We'll find out probably tonight. It seems like it is imminent, according to reports, that he is going to choose Miami, take his talents to South Beach. LeBron James will never, never live that down. Take his talents to South Beach. So, if he does, subject of our poll, at the Raj 590. You can also find it at Fan 590. And I gave you three choices as to your feelings. And it's Raptor fans I'd like to hear from. Anyone can vote in the poll, give your comment. We'll read them throughout the course of the show. But in particular, from Raptor fans. So, Kyle Lowry, let's assume, all right, he signs with another NBA team, whether it's the Heat or somebody else. He's been connected to a lot of places. But it appears that this is the last day Kyle Lowry is going to be a Toronto Raptor. That's kind of sad. Although, is it okay? Or are you of the thinking, you know what? Maybe it's time to move on from him. Maybe it is. Maybe this is the best thing for both parties, actually. So the three choices to the question, which of these best describes your feelings if Lowry signs with another NBA team? Are you okay? He's earned a big deal. He's Mount Rushmore of the Raptors. Put a statue up of him after he retires. Are you okay with it? Or are you sad? You think he should stay? You want him to finish his career as a Raptor? The Raptors have not had that, you know, career guy. And although Kyle Lowry hasn't had his whole career in Toronto, certainly another extension in Toronto, retiring as a Raptor, and never mind the retire a Raptor one-day contract press conference. I mean, retire as a Raptor. So you think he should stay? Or do you think it's just time to move on from him? Not only does Lowry deserve the big deal, maybe your biggest feeling of this is it's time to move on. It's getting up there. Raptors, clearly a bit of a transition, especially if it's a sign and trade that can help the team. There's other options now. What do you do? So are you okay with it? He's earned a big deal. Are you sad he should stay? Or is it time to move on from him? The three choices. Early voting, 46.7% of you say it's okay. He's earned a big deal. It's all right. He's done everything he can ask for the Raptors. He's earned one more big free agent contract. 30.8% of you say it's time to move on from him. I'm surprised it's that high, frankly. And 22.5% are sad. You think he should stay. Look, in a perfect world, it would be great for Kyle Lowry to finish as a Toronto Raptor. But at his age, turning 35, one more big contract, likely does not fit in the Raptor structure. Does he want to go elsewhere, finish his career, take another run at it? I think the Raptors would also like to take another run at a championship, to be honest with you. So it gets a little complex there. We'll talk about that throughout the course of the show. We'll see what happens with him later today. Jordan Horobin joins us in a couple of minutes from MLB.com. Talk about the Blue Jays. Javon Shepherd will talk some Olympic basketball with us and what he thinks of the Raptors and where they're going. Anthony Petrielli on the NHL. Buck Martinez is going to join the show later. Great to talk to Buck about the Jays. Katie Heindel, one of my favorites, talk some Raptors as well. And Scott Russell from CBC later in the show as well. Talk about the Olympics. So we got you all covered until 1 o'clock. You can text the show at 590-590. Email Roger at sportsnet590.ca. And on Twitter at the Raj590. Great to be with you on this holiday Monday. And we'll be talking all of that. Raptors and the poll is up. I put a poll up yesterday on the Blue Jays. And the Blue Jays are a great story. They got it rolling now. Jordan Horobin joins us, MLB reporter from MLB.com. Talk about the Jays as they tried to, after their sweep of the Kansas City Royals. Jordan, great to be with you. An emotional weekend at Rogers Center, a great coming home. And that part was great, but probably was what was greater, Jordan, is the way the home team responded. Back-to-back shutout wins followed by that 6-4 win on Friday night. Couldn't have asked for more, could you?
Well, I guess you could have asked for back-to-back shutout wins. They did give up a solo homer in the ninth there yesterday, but very close, almost two shutouts. But yeah, I mean, it was an awesome weekend for the Blue Jays, first and foremost, getting 3 wins out of 3 tries in the weekend series against the Royals, a team that they certainly should beat and are definitely much better than, but also just being home and being able to play in front of 13,000 plus fans, you know, limited capacity, but I think the energy from the crowd was still really great all weekend long, and it just felt good to be in the Rogers Center and see some baseball happening for the first time in a long time.
Yeah, it felt normal, Jordan. There's no doubt about that. So the on-field stuff, let's talk about that. The excitement around this team, there's no question they're going to get a lift playing the home games, but most teams that are in the position the Blue Jays are in the standings, well back of the division, well back of second place in the division, and a couple of games back of the wild card, you kind of have a feeling it's not going to be this year. But it's the opposite, it seems, with this team, Jordan. The front office did what it could. They added another starting pitcher. They added more bullpen depth. This team obviously feels that, never mind the future, which looks bright just because of the age of the starting nine they trot out there every day, they think they can win now. And after watching the weekend series against the Royals, it's hard to argue that they can't.
Yeah, that's right. They definitely have a young core, and so dealing some of their big-name prospects, which I know some fans were a little unsettled by, I think just shows, like you said, the faith that the front office has in this current group to try to go for it now. And one of the big indicators of a team that maybe is underperforming or overperforming, depending on how you look at it, is run differential. And the Blue Jays are a plus 107 on the run differential, which is fourth in the American League. For context, the Yankees, who they're one game behind, is zero. They're even on the run differential. So, you know, that suggests that the Blue Jays have maybe been a little bit unlucky, or, you know, maybe have had some games kind of slip away from them, which sort of points to the bullpen. And that was the main thing that was addressed at the deadline. They've added 4 guys over the course of the last few weeks, including 3 right there this past weekend. And that's just a big statement from the front office to, you know, try to get it going now with this group.
Well, they paid a big price for Jose. There's no question about that. The second and fourth prospects in your chain. And there was some criticism of that. But on the other hand, Jordan, you know, you look in of the immediate future of this team. They're committed to Springer. They're committed to Ryu. They're going to have to really open up the Brinks vault in a couple of years for both Bichette and Vladdy. So right now, to make the addition and an extra year of control on a contract, how did you feel about that deal? Yes, it's a hefty price when it comes to prospects, but isn't that what young, budding superstar teams like the Jays are supposed to do?
Yeah, I'll be honest with you, I was stunned that Austin Martin was included in that deal along with Simeon with Richardson, because both of those guys are players who've performed well so far in the minors and, you know, just players who Jays fans, rightfully so, had a lot of hope in to, you know, try to see at the Rogers Center someday. But this is sort of the inverse of you know, recent years with the Blue Jays, where we've heard them brag about acquiring many, many years of control, and that was not something that really sat too well with the fan base. Here they are doing the opposite. Here they are trusting their current group and understanding that prospects are, in a sense, sort of a mystery box versus a more proven commodity like Berríos. And I think with the Austin Martin and Simeon Woods Richardson guys being dealt, it says a couple things. One, Alek Manoah is as much, if not more, than the Blue Jays could have hoped for so far at the major league level. And I think with a couple of middle infielders that they have in the minor leagues, mainly Kevin Smith and Jordan Groshans, that Austin Martin was a guy they felt maybe there was a surplus there and they could deal someone like that and know that they still have a couple guys on the farm that they're going to hope to see with the Blue Jays someday. So I think they were dealing from a bit of an area of depth with the middle infield prospect, and with Woods Richardson, I think they just are so impressed with what they've seen from Alek Manoah that maybe they didn't feel they needed to have that other starter to come up soon.
Well, that's indeed the case. And, you know, Jordan, I usually side on the fact you can't trade all your prospects. It's important. You can never deplete your farm system. But the Blue Jays farm system, according to a lot of people, is still very, very solid. And, you know, once you make the major league roster, we kind of forget about prospects. Prospects sound so exciting, eh? It's a prospect, and he's lighting it up in AAA. And then you almost forget about Nate Pearson, because he comes in, he gets hurt, and then he's sort of put to the side for a second, and we're back to the prospects again. Who's number two? Who's number four on your list? That's one of the things. Until you see them at the major league level, you never know. And if you want to win now, you have to take that opportunity. And certainly Barrios was terrific yesterday.
Oh, he absolutely was. Yeah, I mean, talk about seeing an immediate return on your investment there. Barrios was fantastic. Again, it's a Royals team that doesn't score a lot of runs, not really the best offense out there. But they actually had had some success against Barrios in recent years, and they've seen him a lot given that he was on the Twins there in the AL Central. But yeah, just, as you're saying, I mean, prospects, we can look at the rankings all we want and get excited about guys near the top of the list, but everyone develops at their own pace and not everybody can just jump in to the majors and succeed right away. So for a team that's trying to succeed right now, it makes perfect sense, you know, just very simply put, it makes perfect sense to add a guy who can help your team now, like Barrios, like Brad Hand, and Simber and Richards and potentially Soria here. We haven't seen him yet in Toronto, and try to go for it with this group, knowing that the prospects, there's a little bit less certainty to what that production might look like.
Jordan Hromin is with us from MLB.com. I'm Roger Lajoie. Jays sweep the Kansas City Royals. Cleveland coming to town now as they hope to keep the winning streak going and get ever closer to that wild card spot. You alluded to the fact the Royals not a very good hitting team, not a very good team, period, and that's the kind of team you have to win. The Jays have done that, Jordan. They're 27-10 against teams above 500, but teams up under 500, rather. Teams that are above 500, they're only 27-38. Push comes to shove, they're just going to have to find a way to be better than teams that have a better record than they do. That's been the weak fault. It seems like such a simplistic thing to say, but they're going to have to find a way, if you're going to catch those teams, to beat better baseball teams down the stretch.
Absolutely. And it's kind of funny because the Cleveland comes in exactly 500. So we'll see whether they win or lose, whether they become an above or below 500 team for game two of the series. But the Blue Jays have, you know, they've got a huge series against Boston next weekend, but they have a decent amount of games left on their schedule against some weaker opponents. They've got several more games against Baltimore, against the Twins. They've got two series against Detroit. So they will have more chances against some of these teams that they absolutely have to beat. But of course, the Bostons and the Yankees of the world and the Rays are all teams that are going to give them an opportunity to try to move up the standings on their own, you know, within their own control.
Jordan, you know, we talk about one of the reasons this team, the run differential is a great point. There's no question about that. And one of the reasons the Blue Jays run differential is so high is they've lost so many frustrating close games. And that's obviously been the big mantra of the season. It's been frustrating to see the bullpen implode. Let's talk about that moving forward with the addition of Hand, with the fact that a degree of health is coming back to this bullpen, and Romano looked sharp. Tim Meza has been outstanding recently. What's your level of confidence in the bullpen over these last 60-odd games now that the Blue Jays are going to be a lot better and won't have those frustrating losses we saw so much of in the first 100 games?
Yeah, I mean, my confidence is higher than it would have been to this point in the season, but the bar was also pretty low, you know, because the Blue Jays are 6-12 in one-run games, and a big part of that is the bullpen. When we talked to Charlie Montoyo at the end of the Red Sox series last week, you know, the Blue Jays have not gotten the better of the Red Sox this year. I think there's something like 3-8 against them or something like that. And Montoyo was asked, you know, what he views as kind of the difference between these two teams right now, because again, against each other, their run differentials are pretty darn close. And he called out the bullpen and he said it straight up that the bullpen is what he views as the difference. Both teams have very strong offenses. Both teams have rotations that can at the very least keep them in games, but he viewed the bullpens as the main difference. And that was before they added Soria and Hand. And I think it might have been right around the time they added Simber. So that was, I think the front office was probably already working on those deals, but they responded right away with some move. And now we'll see how they work out. But I mean, I think there's more options in this bullpen now that you look at and you say, these are guys that have done it at this level. Brad Hand and Soria, for sure, has been around for a long time. And Brad Hand has had lots of success too. Simber looked great in his, you know, sort of brief stint here with the Blue Jays, but I think they just have a lot of options now that you can feel more confident in, and guys that have a lot of experience at this top level.
No doubt, a lot of different names, and it's great to not forget Simber's addition either, in addition to Soria and Hand. It's a very different-looking bullpen, and it's starting to get fully healthy again, so we'll see if they can turn that one-run record around here in the last 60 ball games or so. Jordan, not just the Blue Jays, but everybody was active making moves. The Yankees added two powerful left-hand bats, didn't do much to address their pitching concerns. What do we expect from them? Because it's easy enough to say, all right, the team they're going to be chasing is Oakland and maybe Seattle, but the Yankees kind of lurk there now, especially with that thunderous row lineup. Do you think maybe it comes down to the Yankees and the Blue Jays, not the Yankees and the A's?
It certainly could. I think I like the A's better than the Yankees, honestly, at this point, because I do look at that Yankees rotation. Of course, you've got Gerrit Cole. That's a really fun headliner to be able to roll out every time you talk about a rotation. But beyond that, it's not a group that I feel super confident in. I mean, Jordan Montgomery's been really great recently, but I think they're a little bit thin on the rotation, and they have lots of options in the bullpen, but you got to get there with somebody decent to start. So yes, they made some splashy moves on the offensive side, and I know a lot of Blue Jays fans probably bemoan the fact that the Yankees have Gallo now instead of Toronto, but simply put, I think Toronto made moves that made a lot more sense for their situation. And I think as much as you might want to look at Gallo and say, oh man, I'm not happy that he's in pinstripes as opposed to Blue Jays colors, probably a better situation than Berríos being with the Yankees and not with the Blue Jays. That's how I look at it. And I think starting pitching is maybe the difference here that potentially could sink the Yankees.
We shall see. It'd be fascinating indeed. Cleveland and the Jays, 3 o'clock on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, Robbie Ray gets the ball today. Eli Morgan for Cleveland. Ben Wagner has the call. Rob Wong and Josh Goldberg have Jays talk right after the game. Jordan Harobin joining us from MLB.com to talk Jays this morning. Jordan, appreciate your time. Have a great day.
Thanks a lot, Roger. Take care.
You too, sir. Jordan Harobin joining us from MLB.com. Jays and Cleveland tonight. Keep it going. Get the momentum. Funny with that plus 500 record thing. Jordan brought up a funny point about that is, what's your record against teams that are above 500 as opposed to under 500? Cleveland enters the game at 500, and every game in this series, that could change. So if they beat Cleveland tonight, and Cleveland therefore becomes one game under 500, does that count as a under 500, or is it 500, or is it above? And then if they win on Tuesday, they're back to 500. Either way, win the games, and we'll see if they can close that gap. I have a lot of faith in this team. That lineup is tremendous, and I think they have done enough. I think fair enough to say that I would put them, and I know the stats graphs or whatever have them at 39% to make the playoffs. I think it's much better than that. I think the Jays have an excellent chance. It's still in their own hands, but they will have to beat better teams. There is no question they cannot afford to lose more games to the Boston Red Sox as they have earlier in the year. We'll see what they do. It is August the 1st. That means it is the start of NBA free agency. And that's a nervous day if you're a Raptor fan. Although, is it a nervous day? Because many of you, in the comments we've received so far, have told us that maybe it's time to move on from Kyle Lowry. 6 p.m. today, they can start making it official. Rumors are already out there that a sign and trade with Miami is likely where Lowry goes. Regardless, if Kyle Lowry does leave, our poll at the Raj 590 and at Fan 590, what would best describe your feelings if Kyle Lowry signs with another NBA team? 164 votes in so far. Keep the votes and comments coming. We'll read them throughout the course of the show. 50.6% of you say, it's okay. He's earned a big deal. In other words, fine. He's earned it. 29.3% just say, it's time to move on from him. So regardless of whether he deserves the deal or not, it's like he's turning 35, time to move on. And 20.1% are sad he should stay. I got to tell you, I would not be terribly disappointed at all if Kyle Lowry does an about-face, at least according to these rumors we're hearing, and decides to stay in Toronto when they figure it out with him. I would have no problem with that. And I would have no problem with him in a sign-and-trade where the Raptors at least get something of value back, because this nucleus of the Raptor team is still pretty good. I think either way, he gets a statue. Either way, he's the best Raptor of all time. But Raptor fans, what best describes how you're feeling as Kyle Lowry might be in his last day as a Toronto Raptor? I can tell you one thing that's really disappointing is that we didn't get an opportunity to see him in the last 17 months. In the same way, of course, with the Leafs and Blue Jays. That was difficult. Your votes and comments are welcome. Coming up, we're going to talk about that more with Javon Shepherd. He's a basketball analyst on CBC, general manager of the Ottawa Blackjacks. Canada's women's national team, 1-2 in Group A play. Been a bit of a disappointment so far. They need a lot of help. It depends on the amount of scores with other teams, if they can still work their way through. But what's gone wrong for them so far? And he'll talk to us about the Raptors and free agency and the rest of the NBA as well. We'll talk about the NHL offseason. Buck Martinez joining the show later. Scott Russell from the Olympics as well. I'm Roger Lajoie. Have a happy holiday Monday. Thanks for locking us in. This is Sportsnet Today on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Wasn't the spring, and spring became the summer. Believed you'd come along.
Sportsnet Today in the Sportsnet Radio Network. I'm Roger Lajoie here until 1 o'clock. Great to be with you. Blue Jay Baseball is coming up at 1 o'clock. Blue Jay Baseball is coming up at 3 o'clock. We got Baseball Central before game today, so stick around for that. Later in the show, Anthony Petrielli will join us, talk about the offseason in the NHL. Top interview of the week, Wayne Gretzky was on the season finale of Hockey Central with Nick Alberga and Justin Bourne. We're going to play that for you. The great one. That's Nick Alberga, not Wayne Gretzky. They're both known as a great one, but it's Wayne Gretzky you want to listen into. And speaking of great, Buck Martinez later in the show. Can't wait to talk to Buck, and we'll talk some Raptors as well. The subject of our poll is Kyle Lowry, the Raptors, and free agency. This could turn out to be a very emotional day, to say the least, for Raptor fans. So what best describes your feelings if Lowry signs with another NBA team? Are you okay? He's earned a big deal. 50.6% of you are. Time to move on from him? 29.3%. And you're sad. He should stay? 20.1%. Comments welcome at the Rog 590 on Twitter. Text 590-590. If you're texting, please, your name and your location. We require that so we can read it and give you your proper credit and proper due. Javon Shepherd coming up in a moment from CBC. We'll talk to him about Canada's Olympic team and the Raptors. I would love Kyle Lowry to finish his career in Toronto. And it's not just a sentimental thing. I still think there is great value in him with the Raptors in this city as a part of a team that can compete seriously the next couple of seasons. I really do. But clearly, we are being told by the rumor mill, Kyle Lowry is going to go somewhere else, whether that be Miami or somewhere else. Makes you sad, but you know what? He's earned it. And I'd like to see exact specifications of that sign and trade, but we shall see. To talk about that and Canada's women's national team, Javon Shepherd, a friend of the show, basketball analyst on CBC, is also the general manager of the Ottawa Blackjacks. Javon, good morning. Great to have you on the show as always. And hey, let's start with free agency in the NBA. Javon, where do you stand on Kyle Lowry's decision? How would you feel if he does decide he's going elsewhere?
You know, I think Kyle has put himself in a position where, you know, he's going to have a lot of earning power over these last couple of years of his career, or the tail end of his career. And I think he's in a position where he needs to leverage that. Secondly, I think, you know, as Raptors enthusiasts, as Raptors fans, we've been attached to Kyle Lowry. He's done, you know, he's legendary here. He is the greatest Raptor of all time. But you have to also put yourself in a situation and look ahead, look at the future, and look at what the assets you have. You have Van Fleet. You have Flynn, some young guys. Bringing back Kyle may stump their growth in a sense, so to say. And you want them to allow them to grow so that you're in a position to strike and be competitive for year after year after year for the next couple of foreseeable future. Now, I don't see Kyle coming back for both those reasons. So it'll be interesting. I think, you know, when you follow a lot of all the rumor mills and you know, there's, we're skeptical on this decision, that decision. There's been so many rumors over the years. You can't really follow them unless you're in those green rooms with the front office. And we've been surprised multiple times in free agency. So it'll be interesting to see how things play out. But I personally, I don't see him as a Raptor going forward.
Yeah, it's interesting, Javon, because, you know, you try to envision, because most times it's fairly clear how close a team is to saying they're a contender, or you're in a complete rebuild, you're tearing down, that's easy, like the Sixers do, it's so obvious. Or you're like the Lakers, you're just going to throw money at any problem you have, and as long as LeBron's there, you're going to continue to try to compete, it's easy. But what exactly are the Raptors trying to do here? Like, what should our expectations be? And I know there's so many moving parts here. I mean, Lowry goes, who's in the sign and trade? What they do? How good is Barnes? I know there's always those questions, but do you see the Raptors in a reload kind of mode situation? How long before this team, we can legitimately say, as they're constructed right now, can contend for a championship again? Because that's what they want to do.
I don't think we're that far, right? If you're remembering this past season, this was a top four team at a point in the season before the whole team was washed out with COVID and COVID protocols. So with that being said, you really have to put into perspective that this was still a competitive team. A lot of things went the wrong way for the Raptors this year, and there was a lot of variables. Remember, they played away for the season. So when you look at it from that perspective, Sometimes you lose sight in the fact that, hey, this team was actually a competitive team. This team is still comprised of pieces, of components that, you know, are going to continue to be competitive and can put you in a position to still be a playoff team. And that's a season in its own. So I don't think they're far off. I think they're one or two pieces away. But I still think this is a playoff contending team. And then once you put yourself in that position, that's a whole different ballgame, right? Anything can happen. And we've seen that in 2019 when the Raptors won the championship themselves. So I don't think this team is far off. So I think sometimes we get the message is a bit misconstrued just based on the season that this team had. But a lot of bad things went in opposite direction for them.
Well, that's a great point. And also, yeah, we need to be reminded, Javon, that both the case of the Raptors and the Jays have had extraordinary situations in these two COVID seasons that we have seen. It's not an excuse. It's an explanation, and it's a valid one, and it's a big factor. And you're right, though. You head into that Boston series in the Dome. The Raptors had the second-best record in the NBA, for heaven's sakes. They have been a very competitive team, and it's not like they're really old in a lot of space. That core with Freddie and Siakam and what have you, it's still a very good basketball team. But we'll see. It's fascinating to see how all these pieces are going to come in. Before we talk about the Olympic team, what did you think of Scottie Barnes, that selection? And, you know, everyone seems to know who's going to be drafted where. But one of my pet peeves, Javon, is that, you know, and it's more from a hockey perspective than basketball, my experience in sports. But NHL general manager once told me, if my scouts just draft everybody according to the list, I don't need my own scouts anymore. I'll just take the list and I'll do it myself. So in other words, yet people are so outraged when, well, he's not number four. What are you doing taking him? But what did you think of that pick?
I'll say this. Let's put basketball aside for a second. And when Scotty was drafted, the emotion and the excitement that he showed to be coming to Toronto, we usually don't get that, right? So to me, that spoke volumes from him himself and his character because he was excited to come to Toronto. Right, this is somebody that's going to work at their craft. This is somebody that's going to hone their craft. And he hit his agent right after he drafted and said, you know, let's get back in the gym at 8:30. So to me, that spoke more to who he is, the player, the type of player that he's going to be, just having that level of excitement coming here, right? A lot of players, American players that are drafted are skeptical. They on one being in a new city, but in a completely new country. And he didn't share those same sentiments. So I was more impressed with that. And I think you're right. When you're looking at the draft, there's so many projections, and it's hard to know who's going to pan out, right? This is pretty much a gamble. It's a lottery. It's a gamble. And you're basing it off of somebody's potential projection. And a lot of these guys, they're not going to come. There's no LeBron in this draft that's going to come in and change a program tomorrow or be, you know, a 20-10 guy that's going to impact and win you games tomorrow. So, yeah, everybody's banking on, you know, different projections, and it depends on what your metrics are as a front office and what you put more weight on. I'm not opposed to this pick. I think Scotty is a tremendous talent. His size, his length, his ability to facilitate and see the court, that's rare. Those are things that you can't teach. Everything that he possesses, those are things that you can't teach. Those things that you don't learn, and he has that innately. Now, everything else, his shooting, yeah, those are things that you can work on and change some fundamentals and so forth. So I'm not too concerned with that. I'm excited about the pick. I'm more excited about the fact that he was so thrilled to be here, and that, to me, spoke volumes.
Oh, that was great. There's no doubt about that. So that just kind of leads then, you know, Javon, is the Raptors' reputation around the NBA, not just with drafted players, kids from the United States colleges, but free agents, general managers, everybody, has it really improved the way it should, given the fact this team won the NBA title in 2019, performed so well in the bubble? The organization, Masai, is definitely respected. I know Toronto will never be the LA Lakers in the same way that there are NHL franchises that will never be, you know, the Toronto Maple Leafs or a true destination for a lot of people just because of geography and history. But is it improved, or are we going to be continually talking about this forever?
It'll continue to improve. I think winning helps that. I think a step in the right direction was winning a championship, right? Now you gave a whole new dimension to the Toronto Raptors, to Toronto, period, to Canada, right? And that helps. Well, the other side to it is, and you could hear it through a lot of the NBA draft interviews, is the fact that Toronto Raptors are known for the development now, right? So that's going to attract players that are hard-nosed, that want to work, that want to get better. And I think that's great, right? So it's more than just, you know, being attracted to a city that's high on lifestyle or anything of that nature. You're getting players that are interested in coming in, developing, getting better. And then you end up guys with, you know, have the same mentality as Fred VanVleet, OG, and those guys that came in and really crafted, you know, their craft.
Javon Shepherd is with us from CBC. I'm Roger Lajoie. Raptors and free agency, 6 o'clock today. There will be some movement tonight. We'll see where Kyle Lowry winds up. All right, Javon, we got to talk about the Canadian women's national team. Now, they entered, you know, Tokyo with the 4th ranking and to finish 1-2 in Group A and now have to sit around and wait for a complex, you know, tiebreaker system of points between teams. Do we call that a disappointment? Is it a big surprise? What was your observation and what went wrong in those first 3 games to put them in this uncomfortable spot?
It's definitely a disappointment. When you look at the fact that team one was ranked number 4, there were pretty much a core group of women that had returned from Rio. It is slightly disappointing, but I look at it from the standpoint, if you're somebody that's never medaled at the Olympics, if you're somebody that has never been to the Olympics, it's hard to really criticize these women because you've never done it. You've never walked their shoes. So I tread light with that. But from a competitive standpoint, you would love for them to have gone in and done a little better because now you put your fate in somebody else's hands. I'm actually watching the game right now, and if Australia wins this game by 23 or more, you know, Canada's hopes in that next round are gone. So it's a little unfortunate, but I think, you know, with sports, with the Olympics, you have to take into account that these women are there and taking their commitment one. And again, if you've never done it, tread light with how hard you criticize these Olympians.
No doubt the spotlight and the pressure is difficult. They're in the tough spot. So what, presuming if they do get the breaks, I understand USA has to beat France by 15 or more. Australia beats Puerto Rico by less than 24. Nigeria down to Japan by less than 41. End of the day, let's presume, let's be positive about that they do find their way. Is there enough of an indicator here that this team can find its stride and as the tournament goes on?
I think we've seen flashes of it. We've seen flashes of this team's ceiling, the potential, when they're locked in defensively and how they can play when they play well together. But they haven't really put that together for a full 40 minutes or 30 minutes, rather. And that's been, you know, the disappointing part is that you've seen flashes. You know what they can do. They're really good when they're engaged, locked in defensively. They can create offense for themselves there. And they have a number of players that can do a number of things, which you would hope they'd be able to gel and click a lot faster. It just hasn't happened. I think there's been a little bit of turnover with adding in a couple young females into the group, which, you know, they haven't had this experience yet. Kia, Naira Field, they've been here, but it won't be enough at this level. It's you're going up against teams and women that are battle tested, that have been on this platform, the stage before, and they're just, you know, it's a rollover, right? And I don't think Canada has that right now. And you're seeing it. You're seeing that in the, I don't want to say lack of chemistry, but at times it seems that not everybody's on the same page. Not to say they're not trying, but they just don't seem to be on the same page, and that cohesiveness doesn't seem to be there.
How much of a factor is that, just because is the women the same as the men, you know, Javon? Because what you've just said basically describes the men's program and the fact that they couldn't get into the Olympics. Is they're at such a natural disadvantage because so many of these other countries' athletes and teams stay together. They're more familiar with each other. And even at the, you know, elite level, it's a rush job to get everybody together. Is it the same with women's basketball?
A little less, because with these women, they have had this group together. They played together. But I think with a couple of the women coming in late, that adds to it. That adds to the lack of cohesiveness. And then you factor in some of the younger women that have been integrated into the system. I don't think it's a lack of chemistry with this group, because they've done a good job of, Coach Lisa Tamayas has done a good job of implementing her culture, her system, and grooming the women into it. But I think it was a lack of time in this case, where, you know, some came in late. They weren't with the women at the AmeriCups. You have a couple of younger women that have been brought up into the team, and they just haven't had that time to understand each other, to play with each other, to know, understand each other's tendencies yet, and that showed.
It's showed so far. We'll see if Canada gets some positive math from the other results so they can continue the tournament and get back towards their, well, number four ranking. So disappointment so far, but perhaps some time to get it turned around. Javon Shepherd, basketball analyst on CBC, is also the general manager of the Ottawa Blackjacks, joining us this morning. Javon, always a treat to talk some hoops with you. Stay well, sir.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Javon Shepherd joining us from CBC. I'm Roger Lajoie. Well, listen, the Canadian women's team hopefully can find its way through despite that 76-66 loss to Spain. But we got to give kudos and congratulations to the women's soccer team, which beat the United States 1-0 today. First time in decades. In decades that Team Canada has beaten the Americans and in the semifinal today. So congratulations to them. And the Canadian women have performed magnificently in this Olympics so far. So the women's team, now let's call it a failure if they don't advance further in the tournament, is not the norm. It has been great so far for Canadian women at the Olympics. So we'll see if they've got enough time. We'll see what happens with Kyle Lowry, and that's our topic of the day on Twitter, at the Raj 590. That's where the poll is. We just hit our 200 votes, and that's great. What would best describe your feelings if Kyle Lowry's last day as a Toronto Raptor is August the 2nd, 2021? Is it okay? He's earned a big deal. Are you sad he should stay? You really feel the Raptors should find a way and stick with him for, and take another run, run it back again, see what they can do? Or is it just time to move on from him? Not just from Kyle Lowry's perspective, but maybe it's time for the Raptors to move on from him at age 35. 50% say it's okay. He's earned a big deal. 31% say it's time to move on from him. And 19% are sad he should stay. We have some great comments on Twitter, text, and email. Keep them coming. I'll read them in a couple of moments. At the Raj 590. Roger at sportsnet590.ca. And our text line, 590-590. Put your name and your location, please, with your text, and we'll read them throughout the course of the show. We'll talk more NHL free agency as well. Wayne Gretzky on the station earlier this week. We'll have that for you. And the great Buck Martinez, one of the voices of the Blue Jays, still to come. I'm Roger Lajoie. This is Sportsnet Today on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Down in the hollow, playing a new game, laughing and running.
Sportsnet Today on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. I'm Roger Lajoie, and on this holiday Monday, great to be with you folks until 1 o'clock. We've got Baseball Central between 1 and 3. Blue Jay Baseball, 3 o'clock. Ben Wagner has a call at the Rogers Center. So one of my gigs is one of the official scorers of the Toronto Blue Jays. I was in the ballpark Friday and Saturday. I talked about it on the show yesterday. And I don't recall a more emotional, fun night than Friday. And frankly, let's be honest, there have been great moments. I was in the ballpark in 92 and 93 for the World Series. I've been around a long time. I've seen a lot of great baseball games at Rogers Center, but the game wasn't the story. It was just being back together as a group, the sense of normalcy. And I said this yesterday, and I'm going to say it again for this audience today. I thought the Toronto Blue Jays did an absolutely outstanding job in their presentation. And folks, that's not easy to do. It's easy enough to say that, well, okay, they're coming back. And yeah, of course, the emotion's going to ride it. But just the way they did it, they brought the Blue Jays. So many of you watched it if you weren't in the ballpark. I know there was 14,000 fans, but everybody was watching that game on television. And just the way they brought the Jays in from center field, the length of the ceremony, I think it was 20 minutes. You know what? That's more than enough. However, it's perfect in terms of you also don't want, can't do it in 5 minutes. It's another regular season game. You don't want to take an hour. I just thought everything they did was perfect. The home thing they put on the field, having the fans, how about, you know, home plate lady? Like, I'm laughing and tearing up just thinking about it. It was a terrific night and a sign that we're slowly crawling out of this and getting back to normal. So we stay safe, stay healthy, keep getting the shots, and we can get back to full normal sooner rather than later. So a wonderful night and well done, Blue Jays. Okay, August 2nd. Will this date go down in infamy for Raptor fans as the date Kyle Lowry left the franchise? And by the way, I thought about putting the poll up, who's the greatest Raptor of all time? I think that's a dumb question. I really do. And I'm fully aware of the contributions of players like DeMar DeRozan and Vince Carter. Vince Carter basically launched basketball in Canada, for heaven's sakes. Chris Bosh, multi-all-star, T-Mac. They've been great players. Stoudemire, they've been great players with the Raptors. But there's no argument to me who the greatest Raptor of all time is. It's Kyle Lowry. And Kawhi Leonard, even though he played here 1 year, might be the greatest player who ever played for the Toronto Raptors. That's not the same as the greatest Raptor of all time, or GROAT, as they like to call him. It's Kyle Lowry. So there is no question. So I put the poll question up today as saying, which of these best describes your feelings if Lowry signs with another NBA team? If it's a sign and trade, Miami, whatever the case may be, 50% of you say it's okay. He's earned a big deal. 31.7% chose the option. It's time to move on from him. I would have put time to move on from him anyway, but they only give you 25 characters. So it's time to move on from him. I find it kind of surprised that heavy. I would not describe that my top feeling. I could live with it. Hey, if an upset happens and Kyle Lowry stays with the Raptors tonight, I am very cool with that. Thank you. Very cool. Figure it out around him. I'm happy with either. And 18.3% say sad he should stay. We'll see what happens at 6 o'clock tonight, probably shortly after you would think that would be one of the dominoes to fall, but you never know. Comments coming. Daryl tweets in. Good morning, Daryl. He says he has earned it, no question. If your jury and company let him go without a trade, I am sad because he is a franchise player. Hashtag conflicted. Daryl, thank you. This is a complicated one. This is a complex one. There's no doubt. Player's 35, turning 35. Yeah, so give him what he wants and handicap yourself further down the road. Yeah, but he's still got game. There's no question. There is demand for his services, so it's a tough one. Joseph tweets in and says, 100% okay. I think it's a good thing for both Kyle and the Raps. I only hope whatever happens, it's done and with no hard feelings. The relationship must end with love and appreciation from both team and fans. Joseph, that is very well said. I totally agree with that. And I suspect that's going to be the case. There is one thing about, and we don't know unless you're truly in the inside of an event. So, and you see, you know, the personalities interacting. But the public optics of this is nothing but positive. I don't think there's any doubt that I'll be floored, stunned, if Kyle Lowry said anything disrespectful about Toronto on his departure. And I know for a fact the Toronto Raptors will say nothing but glowing praise of Kyle Lowry, no matter how this plays out today or tomorrow, whenever it happens. Thank you, Joseph. Josh tweets in and says, I think he's earned a big deal and a final hurrah. He should do a sign and trade. Josh, thank you. That appears, and I say appears to be the case. We shall see what happens at 6 o'clock. Gary and Aurora, thank you for your comment on the text line. Much appreciated. You can reach us at 590-590. We've got Chuck in Oshawa who says, it's sad when it happens, but there are certain times where a team must part with somebody whose next contract is not going to make financial sense. He will be missed, but the time has come to move on. Chuck, thank you. You know what, Chuck? I would probably echo that almost completely. And I say almost completely because, again, I could live with it. And, by the way, the only way I could live with it is a hometown discount of some kind for Kyle Lowry. And clearly that's not going to be the case. All the rumors, all the talk seems to indicate that Kyle Lowry, and rightfully so, is looking for one more home run contract at the end of his career. So be it. So be it. And listen, if the Raptors, if this was 2 years ago and Kawhi was here, that's a different story. You think, all right, I'm going to get it. He's won the ring. He's given the city everything he can ask for and more. He wants one more big contract and perhaps another chance to win. We'll see, though, by the time the season starts. Let's presume Kyle Lowry goes to Miami. We'll see before the season starts. And I think it's going to be interesting, really interesting to see what happens before the season starts. Who's got a better shot of winning an NBA title, say, in the next 2-3 years? Best years of Kyle Lowry's career, Miami or Toronto? I don't know about that. I'd like to see what the full Miami roster is before I say. I like the Raptors' nucleus. I like where the Raptors are. I have faith in their management. They are great at player development and scouting. Be fun. Daryl in Toronto says the Raptors are going to stun the market. They're going to keep Kyle, then sign Ibaka and Kawhi and Norman Powell and have a reunion. Daryl, if they do that, stun is not a strong enough word. Thanks for the text. That's not happening. Bob in Burlington, a regular listener, Bob. Nice to hear from you. And he says, hi, Raj. Nice to see the Blue Jays make a few decent trades at the deadline. Although not as shocking as July 2015 when they got David Price. Who could forget the excitement of Roger Lajoie at that time? Yes, I certainly haven't, Bob. But mentions Soria and Berrios coming in as well. Trades. I'd like to see the Blue Jays play better small ball when it's needed and have guys on second base with no outs. Stop trying to hit homers at every at-bat. Bob, thank you. Hitting homers at every at-bat is a trend in the sport, though, Bob, not just with the Jays. It is a very, very different situation in the game now, but I get your point. Yes, not quite the excitement of 2015, but still pretty darn good. That team's going to be fun to watch. Jays baseball, 3 o'clock right here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Coming up, we will continue to get your views, so keep them coming at the Rog 590 on Twitter. Email roger at sportsnet590.ca. Text 590-590 with name and location. Offseason in the NHL, there's been a lot of movement. We'll talk about that. The great one, Wayne Gretzky, was on the station. We'll have that interview for you. And Buck Martinez still to come. I'm Roger Lajoie. This is Sportsnet Today on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Today on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Roger Lajoie in on the holiday. I'm here to 9-1, so I'm calling it Sportsnet Today because it's a combination of, the leadoff would have ended at 9, so it's like a good show. It's, well, let's just say Sportsnet Today until 1 o'clock. And great to be with you. We will talk with Anthony Petrielli in a few moments. He is with Maple Leafs Hot Stove, and he's the host of the Maple Leafs Hot Stove podcast about the Leafs. They've had an interesting offseason. I don't know how I feel about Peter Mrazek. I really don't. So Freddie Anderson is going to play for Carolina. Peter Mrazek's one of the goaltenders here in Toronto because obviously he'll share the time with Jack Campbell. So Campbell Mrazek is better than Anderson Campbell. And Anderson Campbell wasn't good enough. Although Jack Campbell was good. Not blaming him for the Canadian series. And then you look at the rest of the roster. It's same core four, trot them out. I don't know. We shall see. Wayne Gretzky was on the station earlier this week. So when Wayne Gretzky's on the station, you know what you do? You play it again, and we'll do that. That's our replay of the week coming up later in this hour. Buck Martinez, play-by-play voice of the Toronto Blue Jays, will join us. And talked Blue Jays, of course. They get ready to play Cleveland. Sean Hyken is an NBA reporter for the Bleacher Report, and he'll help us break down all of NBA's free agency that's going to get going tonight at 6 o'clock. And the biggest story locally for free agency is the subject of our poll on Twitter at the Raj 590. If Kyle Lowry does indeed go, how do you feel about that? What best describes your feeling? The poll is up at the Raj 590. Roger at sportsnet590.ca is the email. And you can text 590-590 and on Twitter at the Raj 590. Okay, let's talk about those Maple Leafs and what they've done so far. Anthony Petrielli from Maple Leaf Hot Stove joins us to do that. Anthony, thanks very much for being with us. So there's been some movement, you know, Bunting, Kemp, Peter Mrazek, already talked about him, Nick Ritchie, but they lose Freddie Anderson, Zach Bogosian, Nick Foligno, and of course, Zach Hyman. So Anthony, the big question is, as we sit here today, is this Maple Leaf team better than the one that finished the season?
I don't know about the one that finished the season, but I think they're better than the one that started last season when they were betting on guys like Jimmy Vesey and Alexander Barabanov and Travis Boyds of the world. I think they upgraded their depth on that end of things, but they are going to miss, you know, Zach Bogosian a lot. The team that ended the season was quite good, and then, you know, John Tavares got hurt and things kind of just spiraled out of control from there. But they've set themselves up nicely to get to the trade deadline and then kind of assess and make a move from there.
Yes, indeed, and we'll see, and there's still time before. Maybe the better question is how they're going to look at the start of this regular season, because there's still some off-season to go. The critics in the house will take a look at it, Anthony, and say it's a shuffling of the deck, because if you're going with the core four, that's going to be the ultimate determination of this team breaking through. I agree with that, but I got to tell you, Anthony, only partially, because I think it does make a difference. Hockey is not like basketball. Get Kawhi and win a championship. Your core players obviously make the difference, but we saw it in Tampa Bay, and probably a better example, Anthony, is Chicago, where they mixed and matched the parts and won multiple cups with that same core. So it really does matter. This isn't just a shuffling of the deck chairs, is it?
Yeah, and the toughest thing to kind of reconcile about what happened in the playoffs is, I mean, you have to honestly ask yourself, what do you think would have happened if John Tavares didn't get hurt, right? I mean, I understand what happened with, you know, Matthews and Marner, and particularly how they looked as the series progressed and as the games got tighter and a little bit tougher, particularly in game 6 and 7. I mean, they didn't have good games, let's be honest. But do you think they win that series if John Tavares is healthy? Kyle Dubas obviously thinks so. It would honestly be a little bit hard to disagree with him on that. And that's essentially what he's banking on. I think he's sitting there going, if we had John Tavares, we probably would have gone to the conference finals and lost to Tampa Bay.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people would agree, and some people will say, well, it's an excuse, injuries happen, but in that particular series, it's hard to argue the significance of Tavares going down, and especially with a scary injury that early in the series. So I won't dispute that. So I raffled off a bunch of the names they have brought in. Anybody in particular you think, hey, that's a guy who could be a significant player on this team and maybe get some top line or top D minutes?
Yeah, so Andre Kase is actually, like, he's a really good hockey player, and he was playing on the top line with Ryan Getzlaf in Anaheim when he started his career. And, you know, Boston traded away a first-round pick. In part, they also made Anaheim take on the David Backes contract, so it wasn't just straight up. But, you know, they have full intentions of him being playing high up their lineup. Anaheim did have him high up their lineup. He did not look out of place. He's been a very good hockey player, but he has not stayed healthy at all. So it's kind of hard to bank on him in any capacity whatsoever. But if he's a very simple case of, if he stays healthy, the Leafs have a complete bargain on their hands. It's just really, really difficult to actually bank on him staying healthy. And I think that's sort of where the Nick Ritchie acquisition or signing came into play, because Ritchie is just a solid player. I mean, he's going to chip in his 15 goals or whatever. He can play a little bit up and down your lineup and not look out of place. So his floor is quite high, but
if you wanted to go right to who has a really good ceiling, it would be Andre there if he can actually just stay healthy.
Staying healthy will be the factor for him without question. It will be interesting when Carolina and the Maple Leafs hook up during the regular season, obviously, because of the Mrazek and Anderson situation. You can bet they'll be facing each other, which was fun. Not very often you see goaltenders really switch teams like that. But I asked you, generally speaking, of the situation with this team and are they better than the team that finished the regular season? Is at least goaltending now in better shape than it has been in recent years with Campbell and Mrazek as a 1-2 punch?
It's a bit of a weird one, right? Because the funny thing is their goaltending was actually, they got very good goaltending last year at the end of the day. Frederik Andersen struggled, particularly once he got hurt and was playing through that injury. But Campbell came in and played very, very well. And a big question is whether that's going to be repeatable. Like if he just slips back to being, you know, unable to stay healthy, unable to carry a workload, unable to be consistent from game to game, which in fairness, he's been very good since the Leafs have acquired him in general, but you know, any sort of slip back and now they kind of get into that questionable territory. I mean, Petr Mrazek is also very good, but you know, he didn't stay healthy last year. He was really good when he did play. I think the biggest thing the Leafs can bank on is they've actually been quite good defensively since the start of last season. Their top four is locked in. They're bringing back that group. So I think they can sit there and feel confident that their defense can limit chances. And all their goaltending really has to do is just be average, because they're an above average defensive team. So just average goaltending behind above average defense will net out good results at the end of the day. And that's really all they need.
Yeah, that's a good way to look at it. Anthony Petrielli is with us, writer at Maple Leafs Hot Stove. He's the host of Maple Leafs Hot Stove podcast as well. I'm Roger Lajoie. Great to have you with us on this holiday Monday. Zach Hyman was beloved is a strong word, but certainly it's pretty close to the description of a lot of Leaf fans feeling about his contribution to the team. And the core four gets all the discussion, as it always should and always will with this franchise as long as they're here. But Hyman's contribution was enormous for this team. Everyone realizes that. And now he will take his talents to Edmonton. I know the contract price, you know the situation, you had to figure he was leaving, the team was prepared for that, but how much, Anthony, actually, are they going to miss him?
I think they're going to miss him quite a bit. I think it's kind of getting a little bit almost underplayed, and I think a lot of people are realizing they're going to miss him, but you also see a lot out there that's, you know, well, they can just replace him, and it's not a big deal. I mean, the last 2 years, he's been on pace for 28 and 33 goal seasons. I mean, he's been super productive. And the other thing that's kind of note is he's a really important penalty killer to the team too, right? He was hurt at the beginning of the end of Mike Babcock's tenure. They missed him on the penalty kill. They missed him in general. I mean, that sort of run that they went on when Sheldon Keefe got hired, it kind of coincided with, you know, Hyman returning, getting healthy. John Tavares was hurt at the time. Mitch Marner missed a little bit of time. Like, they got healthy. It wasn't just a coaching switch. Their team got back together and they started rolling. And Zach Hyman was a part of that. I think they're really going to miss him in terms of being able to load up a line and then also kind of supplement it with a Tavares-Nylander second line. And the Leafs don't have a guy who's going to easily fill in. I mentioned Cass, if he stays healthy, they actually might have a guy, but it's really, really difficult to bank on him being healthy. So in the absence of that, I think they're going to basically just hedge and have a bunch of guys that can play that like 13, 14 minute range, but they're not going to be a horse like Zach Hyman is. And you'll feel that at times, especially in a regular season when you can't really load up as well. But I think it gives them an opportunity to maybe spread out the minutes a little bit more between Matthews and Marner, so they're not playing like insane amounts of ice time. And I think that will benefit them in the long run.
So, Anthony, you look at the roster and your point about, you know, the Tavares injury against the Habs, who eventually went to the final and they lose in seven games, is very valid. And the comparisons between where this team is at now and teams like Tampa Bay and Chicago and Detroit back in the day. You know, they had to have playoff failure before they finally won. That makes perfect sense as well. There's no question the top players on this team are elite players in the NHL. Austin Matthews was nominated for a Hart Trophy this year. Okay. However, they still have not won a playoff series in 17 years, and they haven't won a playoff series with this core in multiple seasons now. You look at the team, and you still wonder, all right, you got to break through. You have to lose. I got it. But it still appears they're missing something. What do you think they're missing? Or is it just a matter of, you know, combination, bad luck, the series against Boston? They're not really missing anything. It's just a question of having to break through. Is there a missing ingredient anywhere on this team that you can see?
Yeah, I think it's a bit of a few things, really. And I'll be honest, I was disappointed with those answers from management coming out. And basically it was like, well, we got to lose before we can win, which everyone has to. But when you go 5 years in a row of losing in round one, it's kind of hard to come out there and trot that line out and take it seriously on year five, right? Like you can only go back to that well so many times. I think a big part of sort of what's happening is they really need to have the coaching staff put it together, right? Like the power play has been genuinely bad for, you know, the second half of the last two seasons plus the playoffs. Like it's to the point where you just don't even want them to get them anymore. And that can't happen. Not when they put all that money towards a few players. You can't spend that much money on a few guys and have a power play that you actively don't want to go onto the ice. I think some of their ice time allocation has been really, really questionable. I mean, they're asking Matthews and Marner to do things that basically nobody else has done. And I know people like to sit there and say, well, they're paying them, so they have to. Paying them only gets you so much to a degree. Like, you can't ask these guys to play 25 minutes a night every other night for 2 months in the playoffs. Like, it's not sustainable. I mean, everyone will wear out. So I actually think Kyle Dubas has done a pretty good job of putting the team together this offseason. I thought he did a good job at the trade deadline. I think most people would have agreed with it at the time. I think they were primed to go on a run. I think they're primed to be pretty good this year. Boston probably just got worse losing Krejci. Tampa's lost an entire really important line for them, although they're still very good. Florida probably improved adding Reinhart, and the Habs probably not improved losing Deneau. I really look to the coaching staff to kind of put things together, but it doesn't feel like they have. I think if we're being honest, I think they've been out-coached two straight playoffs now.
Well, and Anthony, that leads, you know, to the big question. You already covered a little bit of it, but how much of a difference is it going to be next year back into, a more normal world with people in the building, back to your divisions? You countered all of those teams, but I would suggest that, you know, playing back in the division with the teams that they have played, at least in theory, should be more difficult for the Maple Leafs than it was in the Canadian division, where in the regular season they dominated. And end of the day, it doesn't matter what they do in the regular season. It's all about the playoffs with this team. And some people are even concerned that it might even be harder for the Maple Leafs to make the playoffs next year than it was this year in the Canadian division. Does that factor into your thinking and expectations of what this team is going to do in 2022?
Yeah, and honestly, I think it's a good thing for them. I think they need to be battle-tested a little bit more, and it'll be good for them to have those sort of measuring stick games throughout the season. And I know they're not in their division, but even just playing teams once in a while, like Colorado and Vegas and, you know, teams of the upper echelon of the league, like they're right at the top, and just getting to see what they look like against them, I think they really missed that last year. You know, basically every single game that they went into, they were the favorites. Like, even betting wise, I think they were pretty much the favorites in every single game last year. They were very rarely challenged in terms of playing a team that might just actually be better than them. And when you play a team that's better than you, you have to, you know, commit a little bit more defensively. Players have to follow their roles a little bit more. You can't get away with mistakes as much, but they played in a division that was very forgiving. I know the Habs went to the Cup final, but honestly, their division was not good last year. I don't think it did them any favors to play that for 56 games. A lot of the games were very boring. I think with about 20 games left, it was like, okay, let's just get to the playoffs and see how it goes. I don't think it helped them ramp up. properly. So I think the talk about them not making the playoffs is, like, it's crazy at this point. They would need multiple injuries to significant players for that to happen. I think what's happening is people are just looking at the lines and they see the same old names like Matthews and Marner and Tavares and Nylander, and they don't like it anymore. But Marner's an 100-point player. Like, Matthews is probably going to challenge for 50-plus goals next year if he's healthy for pretty much the whole time. John Tavares has basically been a point-per-game center his whole career, including pretty much last year as well. Nylander's a 30-goal guy. Like, you don't have all those guys and miss the playoffs. Like, it's just, that shouldn't happen as long as they all stay healthy. So I think all of that will actually help them going in and maybe have a better read on their needs come trade deadline.
We shall see. It has been an interesting offseason already. More to come without question, but just, I think, 53 days until the preseason starts in the NHL. So short turnaround, thanks to COVID as well. Anthony Petrielli is a writer at Maple Leafs Hot Stove, co-host of the Maple Leafs Hot Stove podcast, joining us to chat some Leafs this morning. Appreciate it, Anthony. Stay well.
You too. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Anthony Petrielli from Maple Leafs Hot Stove. I'm Roger Lajoie. I'm still confident in the Maple Leafs' ability to be a premier team in the NHL. And they are a premier team in the NHL. That's not just a Toronto bias. That's just the standings, the stats, the last 5 years, for heaven's sakes. They've won a lot of hockey games in the regular season. They still have not won a playoff series. And Anthony's point is, so win is, yes, you got to lose before you can win. Well, all right, we know that. We know that. Washington, Tampa Bay, Chicago, Detroit back in the day, everybody, yeah, you got to go through the pain. Okay. At what point, though, does that breakthrough come? How many years in a row do you lose in the first round? And can you still confidently say, it's just a matter of time, we're too good, and we're going to break through here at some point? It's 5 years and counting with a core group. It's pretty good. So I'm confident trotting it out one more time, but I'm telling you, the leash is, I think, very short. And it's not, what are you going to do about it? It's almost when you do load your contract in a salary cap league, and your contracts are loaded towards four players, there's really not much of a choice. Well, we're just going to trot them out again. Well, what else are you going to do? I suppose there's always, well, you trade Nylander, because in the minds of a lot of people, that's the most tradable of the four. But that's like a major, major blockbuster. So outside of doing that, you just try it again. There'll be a different look. They're younger, which I think is largely a good thing. They are, I think a little better than they were last year. But ultimately, it's up. So if those core four guys, and yeah, Tavares was hurt, but if Matthews and Marner are not better in the first round of the playoffs, we're going to have this same discussion again next August 2nd. It will come back again. They have to be better. Of course they can be better. They're elite players. Auston Matthews had a fantastic season. Fantastic season. Your thoughts, welcome. 590-590 is the text line. Put your name and your number, please. Or not number, but name and location to your text. We can take your emails, Roger at sportsnet590.ca, and on Twitter, at the Rog590. And our question on Twitter continues to be about Kyle Lowry. It's up for the duration of the show. Answer the poll. Weigh in with your comment. How do you feel? How will you feel if at 6 o'clock tonight or shortly after, or the next day or the day after, Kyle Lowry leaves the Toronto Raptors for another team for a bigger contract offer than the Raptors are prepared to give him? How do you feel about that? Are you okay with it? Are you sad about it? Or do you think, you know what, maybe it's just time to move on? We'll update the poll. We'll get your views as well. Sportsnet today. I'm Roger Lajoie. Happy Holiday Monday on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Sportsnet Radio Network. No, it's Sportsnet 590 The Fan today. I'm Roger Lajoie. Great to be with you until 1 o'clock. We have Baseball Central coming up. Get you ready for the first pitch between Cleveland and the Blue Jays. Jeff Blair, Kevin Barker hosting today. Stick around for that. Stick around. The great Buck Martinez is going to join us after 11 o'clock. Sean Hyken from Bleacher Report will join us, talk about NBA free agency. Katie Heindel will weigh in on that, the Raptors and more. And Scott Russell on the Olympic Games from CBC. And your comments are always welcome on Twitter at TheRoj590. Email roger@sportsnet590.ca. Text 590-590. Name and location, please, if you are texting. And our poll question of Kyle Lowry, 6 o'clock tonight, if it's announced or shortly after or whenever the Kyle Lowry is gone, has picked another team, they've arranged a sign and trade, he's out of here. How does that make you feel? You okay? He's earned it. He's getting more money. Good for him. Put up a statue later. Or you're just sad. You think Lowry should finish his career with the Raptors and the Raptors should find a way to continue to build around him and give him what he wants so he can finish in Toronto. Or do you think it's just time to move on from him? Not just Kyle Lowry chasing one more contract, maybe one more ring, one big deal, which he's earned. I think we most of us will agree with that. Go ahead, because it's time to move on anyway. Age 35 year, does he fit in, this young core? It's a complex one, that's for sure. And your votes, your comments, welcome. We'll update the poll throughout the course of the show. Get a lot of great interviews over the course of a week on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. And the season finale of Hockey Central had a beauty. Nick Alberga and Justin Bourne had a chance to talk to the guy they call the Great One. You don't even have to say his name, but I'll say his name. Here is Wayne Gretzky.
Why don't you tell us what you're up to the next couple days? And is a guy named John Cooper there?
Yeah. You can't get rid of him. You know what? We happen to be living in a wonderful part of the world. And Jen and I have been here for 14 years. And our kids have grown up on the lake here. And it's just a real pretty place that's only about an hour and 20-minute drive to the Canadian border. So we were running into a lot of people from Alberta and British Columbia that kind of come down here in summer a little bit. We're actually playing a really fun charity golf tournament that has been on for about 6 years with cancer research. And, you know, we have guys there, Ray Whitney and Brendan Morrow, Sheldon Surrey, Sean Payton, coach of the New Orleans Saints, and, of course, Tyler Johnson and John Cooper. So it's really, it's a fun place, and it's a place where all our kids have gotten to grow up with other kids, and you kind of meet in the summertime, and something that they'll never forget, and it's just been wonderful.
Wayne, thanks for joining us. I just wanted to ask you about your upcoming hockey season here. You're doing analysis for TNT, and that's really exciting. Are you looking forward to that? And I guess what does that take for preparation for you? Maybe you're watching hockey all the time, and it takes none at all.
Well, listen, first and foremost, family is most important. The pandemic's been horrible for everyone, and unfortunately, I had to be in Brantford for 21 days, which were tough, but got to spend time with family and of course, the passing of my dad. At that point in time, my wife and I sat down and decided that, you know what, her mother's turning 100 years old on Monday, and my son is turning 21, which is pretty remarkable. Mm-hmm. And we just sort of felt like, you know what, our 18-year-old daughter is going to SMU in August, and our son is in college, and we're sort of empty nesters. We've kind of always had a kinship with St. Louis. I've always loved the city and the people. We've had a house there that my mother-in-law lives in, and we spend time there. So we kind of decided to move a little bit more east and moved out of California. And then when TNT came along, I just sort of thought, you know what? People ask me about hockey all the time. I love hockey. I love the game. I love being part of the game. Everything I have in my life is because of the game. The players of today are great athletes, and they're wonderful people. As you guys know, you deal with them. And I just thought, you know what? This is a great opportunity where I can just enjoy the game itself. And, you know, I'm 60. I'll be 61. But I feel young and I feel good. And, yeah, I'm really excited about it. It's something Charles Barkley is a good friend, and he called me every single day and said, you know, this will be fun for you. And ultimately, I decided, okay, this is something I got to try, and I'm really looking forward to it. It's going to be exciting.
And Wayne, that's exactly where I wanted to go next. So it's no secret you and Charles are tight. What advice has he given you? Because obviously he's damn entertaining and good at what he does, in my opinion.
Yeah, there's only one Charles Barkley, right? And you have to be yourself. And, you know, when I met with TNT and I talked to them about being involved in hockey, it doesn't matter where I go. People ask me questions and ask me about my opinion about the game, about players, and about the sport. And I'm the most positive person in the world. I love everything about our game. And I told everyone at Turner and Charles, look, I'm not a controversial guy. I'm not going to be that guy that's going to be so negative on players. I'm the exact opposite. So if you're looking for that guy, I'm not the right guy. So, you know what? People have said to me, what are you going to be? What are you going to do? What are you going to be like? I'm going to be Wayne Gretzky. You know, I'm going to be forthright. I feel like I know the game. I feel like I respect the game. And I'm just really excited about being part of it again. And, you know, although I'm 60 years old, I feel young. I'm energetic. Going to give us an opportunity to be more on the East Coast. And we're going to spend a lot more time in Florida where my grandboys live. And we're in St. Louis. And so it's going to be a great challenge here. And I'm really excited about it.
That's awesome. I'm super excited to be following along with all that. So as a positive guy, I think that's awesome. I think our sport and all sports could use a little bit more positivity at times. So what is it that you, is there a particular player that you like or a team that you like? Is there something within that all that positivity in the NHL that right now that makes you think like, you know, this guy is special or I love the way this team plays? Someone you're excited to cover.
Yeah. Okay, so let me start at the top in the Stanley Cup champions. I have so much respect. Obviously, John Cooper and I are really good friends. We're next-door neighbors in the summer. We spend a lot of time together. We talk a lot together. I was so embarrassed kind of being around him the last couple of days with the Stanley Cup. You know, he won the cup. I didn't win the cup. And I'm sort of like, John, I don't need to be in all these pictures. In some ways, I felt a little bit embarrassed. But I really respect... He's a new age coach in that he's hard on his players and yet he respects his players. Tyler Johnson was with us the entire time. Amazingly, halfway through the first day, Tyler Johnson was informed he was traded to Chicago. And I thought, okay, this is going to blow up. But you know what? There's so much respect for each other. Tyler had a great first year when they won the cup, but he didn't play a lot. But he earned his ice time, and that's the way John Cooper is. If you play hard and you play well, you're going to play. And Tyler Johnson was a huge factor in the second Stanley Cup. So good for him, and good on him and John that everyone understands that. But I respect what players do for the game. You know, I think Sidney Crosby has been so phenomenal for the city of Pittsburgh and for the NHL and for people in Nova Scotia and for the country of Canada. And in the same token, I think what Alex Ovechkin has done for Washington and for the NHL and for Russia as a hockey country is really remarkable. And then you get these new young guys that come along from Nathan MacKinnon and Austin Matthews and Leon Draisaitl and, of course, Connor. They're just not only are these kids good hockey players, but they've been raised the right way. They should be very proud of their parenting and their family inheritance and what they do for their communities and what they do for the game. It's so special. A guy like Mitch Marner, I just feel like he does so much for the city and so much for the game off the ice. It's just really good to see. And those are the things I love about the game because I was lucky enough. I learned from Bobby Hull and Gordie Howe and Bobby Orr and John Beliveau. And we like to thank guys like myself and Mark Messier and Mario that we pass that sort of token down the pipeline. And when you see guys like Crosby and Ovechkin take it on, and then you see guys like Connor and Austin Matthews and MacKinnon, it just... And now the young guys that are coming in, that's what makes our game wonderful is that we have good people in the game. They're great athletes. We all know they're great athletes. more importantly, they're good people, and they're great for their cities, and they're great for the game. And that's what I love about the NHL, and that, for me, will never change.
And seeing personality is fantastic as well. You mentioned the name Alex Ovechkin signs a five-year extension, as you know, with the Capitals. He's 165 away from you. How many times do you think this question is going to be asked to you over the next, say, 5 years?
Well, probably as many times as Gordy got asked if I'll break his record.
True.
I'll never forget, as long as I live, that when I was about to break Gordy's record, I said to my dad, in some ways I feel embarrassed. In some ways, it's not right. And my dad said to me, you know what? Just so you know, when you break this record, you should be proud of it, and you should look him in the face and thank him. But one day, somebody's going to come along and break your record. You should be as gracious as Gordy Howe. So that's the way I look at it. My dad was a smart man. He really understood life and sports. And he said, Wayne, no matter how good you are, somebody's going to come along. And he goes, you better be as gracious as Gordy Howe. And so I kind of always lived my life that way. I've always kind of thought, you know what, that's the way you got to be. Gordy was so wonderful when I was chasing down his records. He was my idol. He was the greatest player that ever lived. He's the nicest man with my dad that ever lived. And so I'm just very thankful.
And for as great a player as you were on the ice, you're even better of a human being off the ice, Wayne. Thanks so much for making the time today. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, listen, and I just want to plug this charity. It's for cancer,
sure.
And I hope people can see it online. It's a wonderful event. A lot of hockey guys, baseball guys, basketball guys. It's a wonderful event. So thank you all very much, and enjoy the rest of, my gosh, summer's already near the end, so enjoy the rest.
You as well.
Thanks
take care,
so
Wayne.
Wayne Gretzky, the great one. And enough said there, eh? Really, such a terrific hockey ambassador. And it is great to see him back involved in the game, in the studio, doing something. Wayne Gretzky is always a part of hockey. It doesn't matter if he has an official role or not. But lately, it's just been more of an ambassador, and it's just Wayne Gretzky. I love the fact that he'll be more actively involved in the game. Of course, after playing, he coached for a while, involved in part ownership and what have you. But this is an opportunity for him to be more a part of the game on an ongoing day-to-day basis. And I got to tell you, it is something to see. He is a terrific guy. I've been in this industry for 40 years, and I've been on this station for 29 years, and I count career highlights having the opportunity, especially being a hockey guy, to have talked to the late, great John Beliveau, the late, great Gordie Howe, and Wayne Gretzky. Similar kind of interview you just heard with Nick Alberga and Justin Bourne. He was doing a charity fundraiser about 10 years ago. And he's just a terrific hockey personality, an icon in this country, and just terrific to hear he's back in the game. Nick Alberga, Justin Bourne with Wayne Gretzky. It is great to get your feedback and your opinion, and we will do that until the top of the hour when Buck Martinez joins us. If you drop us a tweet at the Rog 590, answer our poll question at the Rog 590. You can email roger at sportsnet590.ca or text 590-590. If you're texting, please, your name and your location. The poll question is your feelings, and Raptor fans, I really want to hear from here, your feelings about Kyle Lowry, if Kyle Lowry, as expected, leaves the Raptors either later this evening or in the next day or two, or whenever he does leave the Raptors as a free agent. Are you okay with it? He's earned the contract. You're cool. Are you sad and think, no, they should find a way to do it. They should pay him the free agent money and let him finish it out here and try to build around him and ride it out. Or do you think it's just maybe time to move on from him? And no disrespect intended, but in his age 35 year, the Raptors will find another way to do it and down the road give him a statue. I don't think there's any question the organization will handle it well. I think Kyle Lowry will handle it well. But I don't think there's much doubt anymore that this could be the last day of Kyle Lowry as a Toronto Raptor. How you feel about that, give us your thoughts. We'll read your text, your emails, and Buck Martinez joins us at the top of the hour. Sportsnet Today, I'm Roger Lejoine, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Today on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, I'm Roger Lejoie, and I am with you until 1 o'clock, Baseball Central. Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker coming up with that. followed by Blue Jay baseball. Cleveland and the Blue Jays. First pitch flies just after 3 o'clock. Ben Wagner has the call right here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Coming up our next hour, Buck Martinez, play-by-play voice of the Blue Jays, will join the program. Sean Hyken, NBA reporter for the Bleacher Report, will join us as well. Katie Heindel at noon. She's a writer for Dime and co-host of the Dishes and Dimes podcast. Talk more Raptors. And Scott Russell is a host of CBC's Road to the Olympics, three-time author and a good one. He'll join us, talk about the Olympic Games and where they're at. Our subject of the day and the subject of our Twitter poll has been Kyle Lowry, however, because today is Monday, August the 2nd, and NBA free agency officially gets going tonight at 6 p.m. So what is going to happen with Kyle Lowry? Well, we don't know the answer to that. The rumor mill is churning, and the indications are, from many sources, it'll be Miami and a sign and trade with Miami. We shall see. But it certainly appears that this could be the last day Kyle Lowry is a Toronto Raptor. So our poll asks this question. Which of these best describes your feelings if Lowry signs with another NBA team today? Are you okay? He's earned a big deal? Good? All good? Or are you sad? You think he should stay? You should find a way to build around him? Or is it just time to move around from him? So regardless of your feelings about Kyle Lowry and what he's done in the past and how much you love him, in his age 35 season, it's too much for, and let him have his big deal somewhere else, take a crack, and the Raptors will find another way. Those are the three selections available. So far, 47.9% of you say you're okay. He's earned a big deal. 34% say it's time to move on from him, and 18.1% say you're sad. He should stay with this team. It is a interesting one, to be sure, and we shall see how it shakes out later tonight. Lots of great comments. Let's get caught up with some of them on Twitter at the Raj 590. Rob tweets in, I think we need him back. If we would have drafted Jalen Suggs, I would feel more confident to let him go, but I do trust Masai. Rob, thank you. The faith, confidence in Masai Ujiri is a big part of this mix, not just for Kyle Lowry, but for any significant basketball decision. I think everyone is in agreement with that. There is a trust in Masai to figure it out at the end of the day. I would really, though, it would be interesting to know, because we'll never really know the answer to this, if the Raptors really do want Kyle Lowry to sign back in Toronto, and they would be willing to give him as much max money as possible to make him part of it moving forward. How much of this is Lowry's decision? How much of this is a Raptors decision? That would be fascinating to me. We shall see. Well, maybe we'll never see, actually. Emily tweets in and says, he said he would sign a one-day contract like Patrick Roy did at the end of his career as a Raptor. Let's see. Emily, thank you. The one-day contract thing, you know what? Okay, it's nice. It's a gesture. It's something a lot of players will do. Same thing, you know, you pick what hat you're going to wear when you go to the Hall of Fame. You're going to retire as a member of an organization. That's all well and good. I think, though, Emily, and just about with every player, that's almost a foregone conclusion, and it's a ceremonial thing, and it's nice. I'm not concerned about the ceremonial thing. I'm concerned about this team's ability to challenge for a championship again moving forward and how Lowry's departure fits into that. Is it the right thing to do? Can they get a sign and trade, get some value back? That's more of a concern than the ceremonial one day. I see where you're going with that, and I don't think there's any doubt most players do sign a one-day contract with the franchise they were at most of their career. But it's a ceremony, and until that time comes, I think the bigger issue is how this shakes down and how good a team the Raptors can have in the next couple of years. Thank you so much for your tweets at the Raj 590. Our email is roger@sportsnet590.ca. I'll get to the emails later. Leslie in Scarborough texts in and says, good morning, Roger. Happy Civic Day. Back to you, Leslie. Love the show as always. I believe the Raptors will do the right thing by Kyle. A sign and trade should be the correct road to follow. Stay safe. Thank you, Leslie. You too. Likely that scenario. We'll see. And maybe we'll see today. Dan in Etobicoke texted in about the Leafs and said, Zach Hyman is completely overrated. He was good, but replaceable. Edmonton can enjoy that overpriced contract. Adios, Zach. Dan, thank you. I am a big fan of Zach Hyman. I think he was a major clog in the Maple Leafs the last couple of seasons. I think every team needs a Zach Hyman. I think he's a terrific player, good dressing room guy. I would not be as kind of, I don't know, maybe I'm reading too much into your text, Dan, or your tweet, or your text, pardon me. I would not be as harsh in saying overrated, but I'm going to use the old J.P. Ricciardi line. When he was running the Blue Jays, he used this line over and over again, and I'll use it here in the NHL context. I love the player, but not at that price. JP said that about every major free agent that came down the pipe during his time here. I love the player, but not at that price. That would describe my feelings on Zach Hyman. And listen, you're sticking with that four core? Well, you can't pay Hyman anywhere near that. So I guess you're right, Dan. Adios. A couple of texters, no name here. I'll read them, but please name and location in the future because they are on the Leafs. Texter says, Leafs do not get their money's worth out of their top players. Pay based on performance will change the style of game. Well, we're not going to see pay based on performance anytime in a union shop. And another texter says, Roger, they could have got rid of Nylander and kept Hyman and Foligno. Yes, that was an option. The moving Nylander is an option. And if they ever did decide to break up that four core, I would I would suggest to you there would be a lot of people making offers of many kind. Thank you for that. Sam in Port Perry says, I love Kyle Lowry, but in hindsight, I feel like we should have traded him at the deadline. We would have gotten more than potentially Dragic, in my opinion. Sam, thank you. Maybe. They did try. No, there's any doubt about that. Any doubt that they did try, and we saw the way Lowry walked off the floor in the last game in Florida, kind of an acknowledgement of the past, and he really did believe, perhaps, that he was going to be dealt. Okay, they didn't. So now what? And I think the now what is what we're going to find out after 6 o'clock today. Joe in Toronto says, Kyle Lowry, seems like we need a star performer and a big. There aren't star bigs out there, and we already have a star. It's Kyle Lowry. He seems to have the skill, motor, and leadership. I say resign and keep fighting it out. I'd be sad to see Kyle go. Thank you, Joe. It's an option. It is an option. And I go back to what I said a few minutes ago. I wonder how seriously the Raptors did explore that option of making Lowry a piece moving forward. It's interesting. Another texter here says, consensus should be to move on from Lowry, although he's provided so much to the organization, the city of Toronto, and the entire country of Canada as a whole. It's time to move away from him and rebuild the Toronto Raptors with a new core and set of leaders. Management missed their opportunity to capitalize on his value last deadline, but it's time to invest in the future now, and Lowry isn't part of it. Thank you, Kyle, for everything. You will forever be a Raptor. Best of luck in the future. Well said. If that is indeed what happens later today, I think the majority of people who have followed this franchise and organization for many, many years will say the same thing. Good luck. You're a legend. We'll get a statue ready for you. Hope it works out. And I think Kyle Lowry would say the same thing about Toronto. I do. I don't think there's going to be any acrimony here at all, regardless of the decision that's made. But we will find out, and we may find out today. Keep the texts coming. We'll continue to read them. 590-590 on Twitter. You can drop a tweet at the Rog 590. Email Roger at sportsnet590.ca. Your feedback is welcome on all our topics, and in particular today on Kyle Lowry. We're going to get some great feedback on just how good and how exciting this Blue Jay team is going to be this season. Never mind the future. We know the future is going to be great. With a young core like that, how could it not? Vladdy and Bichette and Bigeau and Teoscar, and that's just it's a terrific team. Sure, it is. But this year, Buck Martinez, voice of the Blue Jays, is on the way in minutes to do just that. I'm Roger Lajoie, Sportsnet today on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Today on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, I'm Roger Lajoie here until 1 o'clock as we tick along. Great to have you with us. Coming up later in this hour, Sean Hyken from the Bleacher Report will join us and talk about the NBA. talk about free agency, talk about Kyle Lowry, as we've been talking about for a good chunk of this show so far. What is the future for Kyle Lowry? Where does he fit in? Is it a case of it's a foregone conclusion? It only makes sense for him to move on. That's one option in our poll. It's time to move on from him. Or, no, it's not. You'd be sad if he left. Give him as much as you can. Hopefully come to an agreement. Let him be a part moving forward. Even at age 35, this team can still compete. Let's keep running it back. Or, you know what? You're just okay with it. He's earned his dollar. And that's kind of like moving on. But your thoughts are welcome at the Rog 590. Lots of votes, lots of opinions, and we love them all. We'll read them on Twitter, at the Rog 590. Text 590-590. If you're texting, please, your name and your location, please. 590-590. And you can also get a hold of us on email, roger@sportsnet590.ca. I've had a lot of emails as well, and I will get to them later in the show. Afternoon, Katie Heindel joins us, writer for Dime and the co-host of the Dishes and Dimes podcast. She'll weigh in on the Raptors and the free agent movements. And Scott Russell, terrific broadcaster, been around a long time and one of the best. He is the host of the Olympic Games primetime for the Tokyo Games, and he's also the author of The Rink, Ice Time, and Open, three great books. He joins us, and he'll talk to us about the Canadian women, especially the performance overall, and the soccer team, which had a stunning upset of Team USA earlier today. So that's all coming up. And then, of course, we have Baseball Central with Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker. Blue Jay baseball goes just after 3 o'clock. Ben Wagner has the call from Rogers Center. Great to see Ben back in the ballpark. And I talked about it earlier, but Friday night's game was really, for most of us, a career highlight who had a chance to be there. I was the official score for that ball game, and just to be back in the park to see everybody, it was fantastic. It was emotional, and the Blue Jays, I give them full credit. I mentioned it earlier, did a terrific, terrific job. Terrific job, and thrilled that we were able to get back into the park. A sign that things are slowly coming back to normal, let's hope. Let's catch up with some of your comments, both on Twitter and on email and text, as we wait for Buck Martinez, voice of the Blue Jays, to join us. So far, the poll, 47% say it's okay. He's earned a big deal. 34.5% say it's time to move on from him. 18.5% are sad he should stay. I thought that would be a little bit higher, but some of you just think it's a time for him to move on, and perhaps it is. Brandon tweets in and says, I'm okay with Lowry getting what he wants. He's earned it. In all honesty, with the Raptors being down in Orlando over the past couple of seasons, I feel he's already been gone. Brandon, thank you. That's an interesting perspective, and it's a real valid one, Brandon, in terms of how we feel about not just the Raptors, but we feel about everybody involved in sports, Jays, Raptors, in the last 17, 18 months. What was amazing is, for instance, Rio was the big off-season acquisition of the Jays in the winter of 2019, and he still hasn't been in Toronto. So it feels like you don't even have him. So to your point about, yeah, I feel Kyle Lowry is already gone because he hasn't been around, that's a fair comment and a fair observation. But it's not just true of Kyle Lowry. It is true of all these guys. When you think about how long it has been since we have had the opportunity to get a hold of and see them up close. So amazing and interesting point, and a very valid one. Thanks for that. We got some text as well. Joe in Toronto says, Kyle Lowry, seems like we need a star performer and a big. There are stars and bigs out there. We already have a star in Kyle Lowry. I'd be sad to see Kyle go. Thank you, sir. We have Steven Stony Creek says, don't be surprised if Kyle and DeMar are reunited in Miami or in New Orleans. Steve, thank you, and adds, go Jays. Steve, thank you. One of the many rumors out there, and an intriguing one, to say the least, has been the rumor that Kyle and DeMar will reunite somewhere. The first one, memory serves, was that they were both going to join the Lakers. And what an intriguing lineup the Lakers would have with LeBron, Anthony Davis, and those two. But we get into best before dates, meh, that ship might have sailed, quite frankly. Although there's still game both in both those players. I'm not saying that, but just the reunion for the sake of a reunion, I want to see what is around those guys if they do happen to wind up on the same team. And if it is Miami, well, I'll tell you, can you imagine when Miami comes back and plays here in Toronto for the first time if Lowry and DeRozan are together on a roster? that will be a can't-miss highlight, 1,000% on that one. So we shall see. Thanks for the text, Steve, in Stony Creek. Andrew in Toronto says, I'm okay with saying goodbye to Kyle. The team and him are at different points and have different needs. It's like saying good luck to an old friend taking on a new challenge. Andrew, thank you. See, that's another one with this. Is that, I'm not going to dispute that, Andrew, because maybe they are, but it isn't totally quite clear. Like, if the Raptors were in a complete rebuild mode, if the Raptors were, you know, expected to be a 20-win team, if they had no pieces in place at all, like, if Kyle Lowry goes, isn't it incumbent on the Raptors to add some veteran leadership from somewhere else? Don't they need a lot of what Kyle Lowry brings already? And if that's the case, why don't you keep him? And just how good do people expect the Raptors to be, and how good does the organization think they're going to be? So this isn't as clear-cut, and I'm not disagreeing with your text, Andrew. This isn't as clear-cut as a lot of other situations are. Well, it's time for him to move on. He wants to win a championship. There's nothing else happening here, so he may as well sign. This is not 100%. Thank you, Andrew, for that. Evan in French River says, you got to move on from Kyle and give him another chance to win a championship. His legacy as a Raptor grows if he goes somewhere else and wins. It's important to remember what he was when we traded for him. Evan, thank you. Well, there is no question that Kyle Lowry's NBA career is going to be defined as from his time as a Raptor. That is unquestionable. Great comments. Keep them coming. We'll continue to read them. Text 590-590. Email Roger at sportsnet590.ca or on Twitter at TheRog590. Blue Jays and Cleveland coming up, and the Blue Jays looking to build on the momentum of a great weekend and a three-game series sweep. Buck Martinez, play-by-play voice of the Blue Jays, joins us now. Good morning, Buck. Always great to have you on the show. Thanks so much for your time. And your thoughts, Buck, on the fact that the Blue Jays are finally back home here in Toronto. That's got to be an incredible emotional lift for this team, isn't it?
Oh, no question, Roger. It's good to be with you, of course. But I think you saw the players' reaction when they were at home and the Friday night celebration, the welcome back, coming on the field from center field. And, you know, 15,000 sounded like 50,000, and I know the players are really energized by it. And, you know, they've been through a lot, and they deserve a lot of credit because you didn't hear much complaining about it. Nobody was using it as an excuse, but now they're back home, and they had a great series against Kansas City, and they hope to continue that against Cleveland.
Buck, the story on the Jays this year, you really, if you take a look at the negative to start with, is the number of one-run losses. Their record is not very good. The bullpen has imploded so many times, and it has really put them in the position that they're chasing a wild card spot and 7-8 games back of the division, largely because of that. Are you confident with the additions of Hand and other arms and another starting pitcher that this team will not have the same kind of problem trying to hold leads that they did in the first 100 games of the season in these last 60 games?
Roger, I really am encouraged by that, and I think they can do a better job of those one-run games in the second half. And not only because of what they've done in the bullpen, because what if they've done with the rotation? Because if your starters are pitching deeper in the game, you can conserve the innings of those premium relievers in your bullpen, and you don't have to pitch them every time you have a lead, and you don't have to pitch them in the sixth inning. You can pitch them in the seventh and maybe even in the eighth and ninth. And, you know, Manoa has shown that he's a horse and he's going to be able to pitch deeper in the games. Barrios is the same way. Robbie Ray has been phenomenal in his ability to pitch deep into a game, and I think, of course, Ryu can as well. So when you do that, then you take the pressure off those lower leverage pitchers. They don't have to pitch in these games, and you save and spread out. And now, too, with Hand and Simber and Richards and Romano, you have the ability to alternate and separate the guys. They all don't have to pitch in the same game. And I think that's why Hand becomes so important, because he's got over 120 saves. And if Romano pitches a couple games in a row, then you have Hand available to close out the next couple of games. And I think it's a very, very good bullpen right now that's improved dramatically.
Yeah, high leverage situations should be reserved for high leverage pitchers. And the Blue Jays have a couple of them, Buck. So that's a great point. And, you know, it's funny, you just outlined it, but when you spell it down like that, so Berríos, Ryu, Manoah, Ray, all of a sudden you got four starters there, Buck, you can feel really confident in. And let's face it, that confidence seeps through to the bullpen as well. And the arms will be fresher too, Buck. You don't have to use them as often. And that is so vital, especially when you start, you know, piling up games near the end of the season.
Roger, when you look at what these particular four starters have done going back over the last nine starts, Manoah, Ray, and Berríos have held opponents to an under 200 batting average. Their ERAs are all under three. Ryu's ERA is just over 3.2. And that's how you win championships, by pitching. And you know what? Back in 15, the team was actually in a worse position when they made those acquisitions of Tulowitzki and Hawkins and David Price and Ben Revere. And they turned it into a championship season, and they went on the playoffs and played deep. And I think this team is even better equipped. Their offense is very comparable to that of 15. And, you know, we probably got an MVP in Vladdy Guerrero, as we did with Donaldson in 15. And the offense has not been an issue all season long. And now what you've done is you've energized the ball club with the addition, especially of Berríos. He's a 27-year-old starter in the prime of his career, and we saw what he's capable of doing yesterday. It's a great addition to the ball club.
Buck, you're the perfect guy to ask this, because of your lengthy career as a player, your time as a manager, and, of course, your broadcasting career, but in particular, the time you spent in dugouts. Talk to us a little bit about the psychological motivation, the emotion, and you used energized, and that's a great word to use, of everybody in that clubhouse when all of a sudden you get additions at a trade deadline and the message is clear from management that we believe in you guys and we're going to give you more parts to win. What's that excitement like?
Well, it's game-changing. There's no question about it. And when you see the other teams in your division adding players like Nelson Cruz to Tampa Bay and, you know, Anthony Rizzo and Joey Gallo going to the Yankees and Kyle Schwarber going to the Red Sox, and you know that the division is getting better at the trade deadline, then you too get into that same pattern. It's energizing, and I think it speaks volumes about this team. And, you know, Ross Atkins and Mark Shapiro have taken a lot of heat since they've taken over this ball club. But this is exactly what they said from the outset. We're going to change the culture of the clubhouse. We're going to concentrate on character. We're going to build an existing organization that is going to continue to win year in and year out. And that's exactly what they've done. Every person they have brought in, including Ryu, Simeon, Springer, character people, Simber, Richards, Hand, Berríos, every one of them is a character person to go along with a core of terrific kids that are great players and good people who love to play for one another. And I think they have done exactly what they set out to do, and now it's up to the players to take it home from here and just play like they have the rest of the year. And now they have pitching and bullpen help to just help them accomplish their goal.
Buck Martinez with us, play-by-play voice of the Jays. Of course, I'm Roger Lajoie at Sportsnet today. So, Buck, you already alluded to, you know, the Yankees adding two veteran left-hand bats to an already potent lineup, so they're going to be scary. All of the rest of the division teams making the moves. Maybe the difference, if, you know, from the negative standpoint, or at least pointing out, between 15 and 16, 15 in particular, and 21, as far as the Jays in the 2 years which they did, is they capitalized on a year when the Yankees were down and the Red Sox were down. That's not the case. Do you think they've done enough? What's your level of confidence that they've done enough to close the gap? You're right, the 15 team was in even worse shape, but the other teams weren't quite as good as this year's Tampa Bay, Boston, and now let's throw the Yankees in as well.
Well, I don't know that I don't think the Red Sox are quite as good as their 63-43 record. And everybody's talking about getting Sale back. I mean, they do have some holes. They have character players that have been winners. They've got some Dodgers on that team. They've got a lot of guys that went to the World Series and won. and they have a good team, but I'm not so sure it's a 20-game over 500 team. Tampa Bay is Tampa Bay. Kevin Cash does a hell of a job with that team, and they just plug in guys that know how to win, and the addition of Nelson Cruz, I think, was a stroke of genius because of what he means to that team at the plate and in the dugout. The Yankees, I don't believe, have enough starting pitching. I still think they have starting pitching concerns, and I think the Blue Jays, if you look at the depth of the Blue Jays rotation right now, I would take it over any of those other three clubs as we speak right now.
Well, that's good to hear, encouraging to hear, Buck. We got to talk a little bit about Vladdy. I mean, your long career in the game. Have you ever seen a guy, Buck, where the improvement in from year two to three, and granted, he's only 22 years old, but the improvement year over year has been so exponential of what we've seen from Vladdy this year. We're almost running out of great words to talk about this guy, MVP candidate, and you got to show Ohtani in the league, and it's still an MVP discussion, shows you how great it's been. But the year-over-year improvement has been so dramatic, Buck.
It is one of the biggest improvements that we've ever seen of an offensive player. To go from a .462 slugging percentage to a .654 slugging percentage, that's up there with some of the greats, including Lou Gehrig, where a year-over-year improvement is so dramatic. And his on-base percentage is up almost 100 points. His OPS is up over 300 points. And, you know, his OPS plus, he's almost twice as good as the league average in OPS. And he's been phenomenal. And I just don't think you can really realize he's leading the league in runs scored and RBIs. And that's the true measure of a player. I don't want to hear about weighted on-base percentage and all that other stuff. The way you value a player is how many runs he scores and how many drives in. Because how do you determine who wins the game? By the team that scores the most runs. And when Vladdy is driving in runs and scoring runs, that's the most valuable player to me.
He has been phenomenal in both. There's no question about that, Buck. So the lineup is great, and we talk about, you know, Vladdy and Bichette and the stars on the team, and the improved pitching is all good. But, Buck, one thing, when you load up your lineup the way the Blue Jays have, it makes everybody better because the starting pitcher is so exhausted after facing the top five, six guys from Springer on down. It makes you exhausting. All of a sudden, you think you can have a breather, and then a guy like Santiago Espinal hits a homer like he did yesterday, and not to mention that barehanded catch that he made as well. Talk about the importance of the bottom of the lineup and of everybody. It's a star-driven league, and it's the major stars you're doing it, but guys like Espinal have very quietly just been significant contributors in their own right, have they not?
Absolutely, Roger, and I think Charlie says it all the time. When you turn your lineup over, when the bottom three guys are getting on base, they don't have to hit a ton. They just got to get on base. So that brings Springer and Guerrero and Simeon and Bichette to the plate with runners on. That's when the Blue Jays are going to have their biggest offensive games. And it's been proven, and you look at what they do when they win games in a lopsided fashion, the bottom of the order is getting on base. They might not drive in all the runs, but they are being knocked in by the top of the order. And this lineup is six or seven deep. And I don't think, as much as Randall struggled in July, we shouldn't forget how important he's been, because Randall's got a ton of RBIs as well. And early in the season, he was as clutch as anybody on the team. And you know what? They've got, with him and Gurriel and down in the order, and now Reese McGuire swinging the bat pretty well, this team is a tough team, as you mentioned. And when a pitcher, you know, you look at a lineup, you say, okay, well, I can probably get 7, 8, 9 out, and that'll give me an inning to really regroup. That's not the case for the Blue Jays.
No, and that makes them especially dangerous. The final one will let you go, Buck. So here we are, you know, the stats, graphs, whatever, the playoff probability odds, and they're based on past performance, so I don't account anything for them, but still have the Blue Jays as, you know, it would be an upset if they made a playoff spot. I disagree with that. I think this team is ready and able to get on enough of a roll, and it's only a couple of games. They really have to catch Oakland or Seattle, Yankees in the mix as well. But I'm curious as to what are your expectations, Buck? Do you expect to be calling postseason games in Toronto this year?
Well, I hope so. I think that's possible, and I think their schedule is very favorable. I think that, you know, after this four-game series over the weekend with Boston, they won't play the Red Sox anymore. They've got some tough schedule, but they've got a lot of Tiger games in the future. And I know Detroit's playing better, and AJ Hinch has done a good job there. But they've got some Baltimore. They've got a trip out to Oakland. But, you know, there's a lot of teams. They got a lot of games left with Minnesota, who's going through a terrible season, and Baltimore. So their schedule is very favorable. And they had a tough schedule to start the season. And now when they have their fullest complement of talent on this roster, they have probably the easiest schedule ahead of them. So I'm encouraged with the chances of them getting the postseason for sure.
Does look good indeed. We'll see if they can close it down. Cleveland and the Jays, 3 o'clock on Sportsnet 590, The Fan and Sportsnet. Robbie Ray gets the ball. Eli Morgan for Cleveland. Ben Wagner has a call right here on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Rob Wong, Josh Goldberg, Jays talk right after the game. Buck Martinez, play-by-play voice of the Jays, joining us to discuss. Buck, thank you so much, sir. You're the best.
Roger, thank you. You have a great day. And, it's going to be a fun stretch for the Blue Jays for sure.
Sure will be. Thank you, sir. Buck Martinez, play-by-play voice of the Blue Jays. Guy who has been an exemplary player, manager, broadcaster. And the way you spell it out and you see it and the comparisons to other years and where this team is at, I don't care what FanGraphs or anybody says, 39% possibility of the playoffs. I expect the Jays to be on an enormous roll. Now, that said, they're going to have to take advantage, as Buck outlined, of that relatively easy schedule. They can't be losing games to the Baltimore Orioles and the Minnesota Twins right about now. They've got but their record indicates they're able to do that. And yes, for the most part this year, they have not been as good against teams that are over 500, to say the least. But there aren't that many of them left on the schedule anyway. So, hard not to be excited. Fun team to watch, and we'll see if they can get enough wins to get into the playoff spot. And once you're in the playoffs, all bets off. We've seen that so many times. Thanks again to Buck Martinez. Thanks to all of you who are weighing in. We got a ton of text still to get to and emails, which I really appreciate. 590-590. Put your name and your location on the text, please, and we'll read your comments. Email roger at sportsnet590.ca or on Twitter at @theRog590 and vote in our poll. This date in history could go down in infamy. Is that the right word, maybe? Or maybe you don't think it's that big a deal. The Kyle Lowry's Raptor career could end shortly after 6 o'clock tonight. Is that okay with you? He's earned it? Does it make you sad because, no, you think they should keep him? Or you know what? It's time to move on from him. It's a real split vote. Great opinions. Keep them coming. We'll continue to read them. And Sean Hyken from the Bleacher Report weighs in and gives us his opinion in moments. Sportsnet today, I'm Roger Lajoie. Happy Holiday Monday from Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Oh, someone warm like you would make my dream come true.
Sportsnet today on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Roger Lajoie with you until 1 o'clock. We have Blue Jay Baseball at 3 o'clock. Between 1 and 3, we have Baseball Central with Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker. Lots of Blue Jay talk. We'll have more Blue Jay talk coming up later as we continue to get your thoughts on the Jays and your thoughts on the Raptors. Is it a sad day if Kyle Lowry leads it? Well, you know what? That's kind of a dumb question, going honest. Because if Kyle Lowry does leave the Raptors, and you're a Raptor fan, even if you think it's time to move on from him, you're going to be sad today. He has been a legendary performer for this franchise. He is the best Raptor of all time, and there really isn't a discussion, even though there have been great players. All right, Kawhi Leonard might have been the most talented player ever to play for the Raptors, but he was here for 1 year. Lowry was invested in the city. He is either first or second in multiple franchise records. He was a huge part of the championship team. Never forget Game 6 against Golden State after they blew Game 5, right? Could have closed it out here. They go to the Oracle, and Lowry scored, the first 10, 12 points of that game? What a performance. What a player. Okay, but is it time to move on? Is it time to move on from him? That's one of the choices in our poll, and the votes come in, and we still got lots of opinions, and I'd love to read them, so please keep them coming. Is it okay? He's earned a big deal. 46.3% of you say yep. Is it time to move on from him, though? 35.8% say that. So interesting. And 17.9% are sad. You think he should stay. In a perfect world, maybe he does. But as we found out, especially during COVID, this world of ours sure ain't perfect. on Twitter at the Rog 590, text 590-590, name and location. Email Roger at sportsnet590.ca. Just hours away from the beginning of NBA free agency. So, Sean Hyken joins us now, NBA reporter for the Bleacher Report, to chat about it. Sean, thanks very much for joining the show. Let's start with Kawhi Leonard. He's not accepting his player option, and will look to readjust his contract with the Clippers. What do we make of that, Sean?
I mean, I think it was pretty widely expected for a while. Kawhi's in a spot where, I mean, he's probably not going to play at all next year because he just underwent surgery for a torn ACL. So he's kind of in the situation that Klay Thompson was in a couple years ago with the Warriors, or that Kevin Durant was in when he opted out. He's the level of player where no matter what his injury situation is, he's going to be able to get a max contract because people are willing to take the gamble that, he is as good as he is, you know, when he's healthy, that we're willing to just, you know, punt a year and tie up that money. So I think he just kind of saw that as, you know, I can opt out. I can get a longer deal with, you know, lock in more money for a longer time, especially because you don't know what his status is going to, you know, if he doesn't play this coming season, what's he going to look like the season after that? Is he going to have another injury setback? So I think he just kind of wants to get the guaranteed money locked in now while his value is still high enough that he can get that even with the injury. So I would say that that's probably what that's about. I wouldn't expect him to go anywhere besides the Clippers, though.
Okay, how about Chris Paul, who does the same thing after a brilliant 16-year career in the NBA, comes so close to winning an NBA championship with the Suns. What do you think the future of the Cards hold for him?
Kind of a similar situation to Kawhi, where I feel like he's just opting out to get a longer deal from the team that he is currently on. You know, there had been some chatter that there was some interest from the Lakers, or that he and LeBron were going to try to finally play together. Obviously the Russell Westbrook trade kind of puts an end to that. And so I mean, with Paul, like, his deal, because he's going to be over 38 at the end of his next deal, he can only get a 3-year deal. He can't get a full 4 or 5 year deal like some of these other guys can, but it seems pretty clear around the league that he's just opting out to get another extra couple of years with Phoenix. He's not going anywhere, I don't think.
Sean Hyken is with us from the Bleacher Report. I'm Roger Lajoie. Flip side of all those two guys, obviously, Leonard and Paul, likely staying put despite the maneuverings. Kyle Lowry, the rumors continue that it is a foregone conclusion. He's leaving the Raptors. His likely destination, according to many, is Miami. There are still multiple teams of interest. Will it be a sign and trade? How is that going to work? Sean, what are you hearing, and what are your expectations as to what Kyle Lowry is going to do after 6 o'clock today?
It seems like most people around the league are expecting the Miami scenario to be the one that comes into play. You saw they picked up the team option on Goran Dragic, which kind of points to the idea that they're going to use him as salary for a sign-and-trade. I know that, I mean, there have been other teams, but, you know, whether it's New Orleans, Dallas, Philly's obviously had interest in him for a long time. There are other teams that are going to be pursuing, but I think around the league, most people expect that Miami's going to be where he ends up.
Is it a case, do you think, of Kyle Lowry chasing that one big contract, and that's the opportunity that it's there? And if that's the case, do you think there is any plausible scenario that the Raptors would make an offer to him and find a way to make it work? Or at age 35, given the makeup of this team already, that keeping Lowry financially happy and in Toronto is just not a possibility?
Well, they're trying to contend still. They're trying to, and obviously, you know, Lowry is great, but they kind of see what his age is, and they kind of think that paying him $25 or $30 million a year is not really on the same timeline as some of these other guys. I mean, you're seeing now, you know, they just drafted Scotty Barnes, who they see as playing a big role for them, even, you know, from the beginning. And then they also, you know, a lot of their other core is younger, not super young guy at this point because they've been in the league for a few years, but younger guys like OG Anunoby and Fred VanVleet. I think both sides are kind of feeling like, you know, that era is over. They won a championship. If he wants to go end his career somewhere else, I think nobody's really going to stand in the way of that.
No, there's no doubt about it. I think, and both sides, regardless, I think it ends in a very acrimonious way, and everyone will be happy at the end of the day. But we shall see. It's 6 o'clock tonight, and it would be an historic day if Kyle Lowry's time in Toronto ends, whether it's Miami or somewhere else. We shall see. Lakers make a significant move with Russell Westbrook, obviously, in making that major deal. And now rumors are they're going to add some veteran names. DeRozan is out there. Maybe Melo. Who knows? What about the Lakers and what they've been able to accomplish? And certainly now there is a big three in Los Angeles once again.
Yeah, I'm not sure how that's going to work out as far as an on-court fit standpoint. It's really going to depend on the kinds of role players they put around those three guys. I mean, historically speaking, when LeBron is the best shooter on a team, which he kind of is now because, you know, they got rid of KCP, they got rid of Kuzma. If LeBron is the best shooter on your team, that doesn't really go very well. But, you know, like you said, they're probably going to add some other veterans. And I think having this big perceived big three of LeBron, Westbrook, and Anthony Davis is going to probably make guys, whether it's Melo, who obviously is close with LeBron, or whoever else, want to go play with them and, you know, maybe take a pay cut to try to chase a ring. And so I think they're going to be able to get shooting that way. It's going to be interesting, though, to see how it all plays out.
Who do you think's most likely to – do you see a good fit among those names, like adding to that? When you've got the big three like that, and it's a great point, you do have to have somebody else. But who do you think is the best choice of that, assuming it can be done on a financial basis, Sean?
Well, DeRozan, I think, is kind of out of the picture just from that standpoint. I think he wants to get paid. But the Melo thing is interesting to me because, he, you know, obviously he and LeBron are close, and they wanted to play together for a while. And Melo, I mean, obviously defensively he isn't really going to give you much, but he did prove the last couple of years with Portland that he can still score and he can still shoot and he can, and, you know, that's something they're going to need. So that's something I think I could see happening.
So speaking of Portland, what do you think the future holds for them? They've had Damian Lillard, McCollum, adding Norman Powell, but they've not been able to break through a la Phoenix and fight their way out. Still a very competitive basketball team, but how do you think their offseason goes? Because they're a team that intrigues me, Sean. It just seems that they're so close, but they're not quite there yet.
I would expect this season to be pretty much status quo for Portland. They're going to replace the Carmelo Anthony and Enes Kanter spots on the bench. I know they're trying really hard to re-sign Norm Powell. Maybe they get that done. Maybe they don't. I don't expect a CJ McCollum trade to happen. I think this roster is going to kind of look pretty similar to what it looked like last year. And then Neil Olshey, their general manager, is kind of hoping that just bringing in a new coach and Chauncey Billups is going to be enough to put them, you know, take them to the next level. We'll see if that's true or not, but that's how I feel like they're operating.
And finally, Sean, you know, we've already talked about, obviously, Kyle Lowry and Leonard and Paul and their situations, what might happen. DeMar DeRozan, we mentioned, there's certainly going to be some, you know, activity around him. There are other players, Mike Conley, John Collins, not all unrestricted, Lonzo Ball, Jared Allen. Anybody, how much activity do you think we see immediately out of some of those players? And is it a case of, is Kyle Lowry really the domino to fall? And if that falls immediately, are we in for a real hectic first night, or is this going to take some time?
Well, most of those names you mentioned, I think, are pretty widely expected to stay where they are. I think Atlanta is going to re-sign John Collins. I think the Cavs are going to re-sign Jared Allen. I think Mike Conley is going to end up staying in Utah. Lonzo Ball, I think, is the one of those that you can look at and say he's probably going to be on the move. Chicago has been linked to him. New York has been linked to him. A couple of other teams. As far as being hectic, I think we're going to see a lot of deals get done quickly because I think most people just kind of know what they're going to do. But I don't know how much movement there's going to be. I think Lowry, like you said, might be the biggest name that actually changes teams.
Well, we shall see. It starts at 6 o'clock tonight, and this could turn out to be the final day. Kyle Lowry is a Toronto Raptor. We shall see. Sean Hyken is an NBA reporter for the Bleacher Report, joining us to talk some hoops today. Sean, thank you. Great to have you on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Sean Hyken joining us from the Bleacher Report. I'm Roger Lajoie. So where Kyle goes may be the determining factor in this whole free agency period, how it shakes down. A lot of players not expected to change teams, but we've already seen some significant deals. Westbrook going to the Lakers, a major situation. What does DeMar DeRozan do? That's another fascinating situation. He wants to get paid, but is there a fit? And how much at this stage of DeRozan's career does it become chasing a ring and getting paid? That's an interesting one when you stop and think about it. Would he be open to a short term for the moment if he joined a super team to get that and then wait for the next contract? Or does he have to take it now? Maybe he doesn't feel that time is there for him. Lots of unanswered questions. It is going to be a lot of fun. Free agency is always a blast in any sport in any year, and in particular this year. So, Raptor fans, if this is indeed the end of Kyle Lowry in Toronto, how do you feel about it? Which of these best describes your feelings if Lowry signs with another NBA team? It's okay. He's earned a big deal. You're sad. He should stay. Or it's time to move on from him. So far, 45.6% say it's okay. He's earned a big deal. Bye. See you later, Kyle. Time to move on from him, 36.2%. So it's really your best described feeling is that it's time to move on. Not only are you okay with it, it should happen. And 18.1% of you are sad. You think he should stay. Your comments are welcome. We'll continue to read them on Twitter at the Rog 590. Email roger at sportsnet590.ca. Text 590-590. We'll get more Raptors talk from Katie Heindel and Olympic talk from Scott Russell and more of your comments to come as Sportsnet Today continues. I'm Roger Lajoie, and this is Happy Holiday Monday on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Sportsnet Today on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Roger Lajoie with you until 1 o'clock. At such time, Baseball Central takes to the airwaves with the great Jeff Blair and the great Kevin Barker. And then it's Blue Jay baseball. Cleveland and the Blue Jays get going. How much fun will that be? I'll answer my own question. It's always fun because the Blue Jays are a fun team to watch. Ben Wagner has the call from Rogers Center. Isn't it great to be able to say that? You can listen in right here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. You can listen in right now to our producer, J.R. Manitad, who's going to answer the poll question that many of you have answered today, is what would your feelings be if Lowry signs with another NBA team? Are you okay with it? Are you sad? Do you think he should stay? Or is it time to move on from him? J.R., what do you think?
Sorry, Raj, can you repeat that question real quick?
Are you okay? Is he earned a big deal? Is it sad? He should he stay? Or is it time to move on from him?
Yeah. I'm okay with having him moving on. I think this is time. This is time to get one last big deal in the NBA, because we've talked about it throughout the show. He's 35 years old. He might not have that much left in the tank, even though he kind of shows it on the court. But this is his time to get paid one last time. And I'll be okay as a big Raptors fan for him to move on. He's done his due in Toronto. He's won a championship with us. He's gone through the struggles of missing the playoffs, losing in the playoffs, and all of his on and off court contributions to the city of Toronto as well, with his charities, his turkey drives and Christmas drives. He's done it all as a Toronto Raptor. So, I mean, he is one of the greatest Raptors of all time. Yep, we talked about him having a statue one day, him having his jersey retired for the first time in franchise history. So it'll be his time to get paid, and I'll be okay with it. And I'm sure a lot of Raptors fans today going through Twitter and until the 6 p.m. deadline, that once it does get announced, whatever team he goes to will be okay. And if he wants to stay here in Toronto as well, sign on a nice little discount contract, we wouldn't be mad at that as well.
No, I don't think so, indeed. And you're with the majority so far with the poll in saying that you're okay with it. And I think that, generally speaking, is. I guess the hard thing to try to figure out, though, JR, if Lowry leaves, it depends if it's a sign and trade, there's some value coming back, and are the Raptors going to be able to make a move to replace him, is how good do we expect the Raptors to be next year? Like, it seems to be a real divided school. Everyone says, well, you know, contending playoff team. Well, I expect the Raptors to contend for the playoffs every year with Siakam and Freddie. This is still a very good basketball team. But are they legit good? Are they a top of the conference team? Like, what's your expectations of them?
I mean, this team has surprised us so many times throughout the last few years of them post Kawhi era, post championship. They were still able to contend for a playoff spot, being able to win some games, win some playoff series in the bubble. Obviously, they didn't have a chance to make the playoffs this past year, but they're still one of the top few teams in the Eastern Conference. Sure, the Eastern Conference has gotten a lot better in the past few years. This might be a tough time to get back in the playoff hunt, but then again, you still have this core who are still on the rise with OG Anunoby, Fred VanVleet, Pascal Siakam, and you got young guys like Chris Boucher who are on the rise as well. So this shape of this roster so far, I mean, we're going to wait until free agency to see what Bobby Webster and Masai Ujiri does today and in the coming weeks. But this team is still a playoff team, no matter what. I know people are mad about drafting Scottie Barnes. Give him a chance. He's one of the great defensive forwards of this draft class. Of course, not drafting Jalen Suggs is a bummer, but I mean, we'll be fine. This team has been able to overcome any hurdles that they've come across, and there's been low expectations from this team, and for some reason this team has still met and exceeded those expectations throughout the games and the years past post championship in Toronto.
Well, and you brought up the point about Lowry's contribution to the community in the city of Toronto, and that's an excellent one because that's something that can't be said enough, and that's a big part and parcel of it. And the way Barnes reacted about being a Raptor and his joy and embracing it right out of the get-go, JR, that was one of the challenges this franchise had in the early days, is attracting people to be enthusiastic about being in Toronto and everything they can do, and that's exactly what we're seeing with both Lowry and Barnes, so how can you not like that?
Yeah, you can't look over that and not appreciate what, you know, Scottie Barnes, a guy from the U.S. who most guys don't really consider Toronto back then as a destination. Now with the winning culture, winning team, like Javon Shepherd earlier today spoke about it. That celebration of being drafted to the Toronto Raptors, and seeing on their social media account that Scottie Barnes was in Toronto a few days ago and he's exploring the city. He's been to Drake's mansion. He's with Cardinal Official at the Real Jerk. He's exploring the city. And he's embracing this Toronto culture already. And he hasn't even stepped on to a court yet. Hasn't even put on the Raptors jersey as well. I think even Jalen Suggs spoke about it, or one of the few prospects of the draft spoke about it in their interviews a few weeks ago, that they think that They know that our development program in Toronto is bar none. It's the top of the class, and they recognize, they've seen Fred VanVleet, they've seen Pascal Siakam, they've seen OG Anunoby, Norman Powell develop and become one of the top scorers, one of the top defensive players in this league. We've won championships with them, and you see Norman Powell shipped off to Portland, and you see how well he's been playing over there as well. So people are recognizing our development program. People are recognizing as Toronto as a solid destination, and hopefully whenever we do come back in Toronto and they play in Toronto as well, they embrace that once again, and they realize how much playing in Toronto is a fun and great place to play for.
Blue Jays will back him up on that after the weekend series as well. JR, great job. Thanks so much, bud.
No problem, Raj.
JR Manitat, our producer. I'm Roger Lajoie. Let's get a few more comments from you guys. G sends a tweet in saying, feeling extremely trepidatious. Kyle Lowry means everything to this team, and Fred VanVleet cannot shoulder this loss on his own. Leadership must be a priority to Masai Ujiri. Thank you, G. The impact of Lowry off the court, his leadership, contribution to the community, cannot be understated. There's no doubt you can replace the player, the talent, easy enough, and you can win with the star players, but you do need veteran leadership and people who appreciate wearing the Raptors jersey. I'm a big, big believer and backer of that. That's something that does not get talked about enough, I think. So thank you, G. Graham in Burlington says, your poll could have been, who's the second best Raptor of all time? Vince, Bosch, DeMar, or Kawhi? Graham, thank you. That's a great question. You're right, because Lowry is number one, period. Case closed, I say. But there have been some pretty good basketball players. Throw T-Mac in there, Damon Stoudemire back in the day. They've had some really, really good players, without question. Seth in Toronto says, I think the best case scenario for Lowry is to just let him go. I know fans can struggle to embrace the rebuild, but part of doing that is letting go of players that you may love in order to make room for younger pieces. I think the mistake was already made by not trading him at the deadline. I think it's time to acknowledge all he's done for this franchise, realize where this franchise is at in terms of contending, and come to terms with the fact that it would be best for him to move on. Seth, thank you. Appreciate all your comments. Got lots more, and we'll read them. We still have another hour here of Sportsnet today. 590, 590 is a text. Put your name and your location, please. 590, 590. You can email Roger at sportsnet590.ca or on Twitter at TheRog590. Katie Heindel joins us from a dime to talk about what may happen tonight with Lowry and the rest of the NBA. Scott Russell from CBC will join us and get us all caught up on the Olympics. I'm Roger Lejoie. This is Sportsnet Today, Holiday Monday edition on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Today on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, I'm Roger Lejoie. Happy Holiday Monday, everybody. Glad you're along with us. Stick along with us. We have Baseball Central coming up at 1 o'clock with Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker. Blue Jay Baseball against the Cleveland baseball team coming up. First pitch, round 307. Ben Wagner will have the call right here on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Rob Wong and Josh Goldberg with Jay's Talk right after the game. We continue to get your feedback on the future of Kyle Lowry, how you feel about it. What's the best description of how you're feeling if he does the expected and is no longer a Raptor after 6 o'clock tonight? We shall see soon enough, but we shall see. And Scott Russell from CBC is going to talk about the Olympics and Team Canada. Tough news for the women's basketball team getting eliminated on point differential. Great news for the soccer team as they head to the gold medal game on Thursday night. That is appointment TV. For sure. But it's free agency in the NBA. And a friend of the show, Katie Heindel, joins us, writer for Dime, co-host of the Dishes and Dimes podcast, to talk about it. Katie, good afternoon. Thanks so much for joining us. And here's the day, Katie. If this indeed turns out to be the final day of Kyle Lowry in Toronto, how do you feel about that, Katie?
Well, thank you for having me. It's great to be back. I feel like it's very fitting also because this is something you and I have been talking about and building up to, I think, this whole season. So, well, I'm not going to believe anything, even though you and I have both heard the rumors and the reports, until it actually happens. I'm stealing myself for that moment. But I'll feel upset. I'll feel pretty sad, but it's going to be a bittersweet feeling. I think if Lowry were to leave in this free agency versus when we were talking about it at the trade deadline, it's going to feel a lot different. And I think whatever situation he's going into, I'm going to be very happy for him.
I think everyone agrees with that, Katie, because, you know, there are not very many Kyle Lowry detractors. There's always, everybody has detractors, but end of the day, he's been an exemplary citizen. He helped them win a championship. So everyone gives the guy his due. But I guess when you scratch the surface, if this was in a perfect world, if this was in a perfect world where both the player and the team could agree on a financial package, let's say there was a time where the player said, okay, I'm willing to stay in Toronto. Is it the time to do this? Like, should the Raptors really go hard to keep Lowry a part of the mix?
I don't think at this point, just because given what the team is going into, I think the team is basically moving into taking several different shapes. We haven't necessarily gotten a clear sign of what that actually is. Masai not signing his contract is one of those things that I think it hasn't yet helped us get a clear sense of where the team is moving. But I think at this point, if Lowry wants to stay, that's different. He would potentially take a cut to do it. But I also don't think where Lowry is at the point in his career, you know, he's entering into probably a 3-year deal. He wants something similar to what Chris Paul opted out of his past contract with the Suns to look at. It's a contract that'll be weighted pretty heavily for that third year. He wants that security and he deserves it. So I don't think the Raptors should necessarily double down and give it all to keep him. I think that they should sort of look at the returns that they'll get potentially for whatever team. And it looks like right now Miami is the most aggressive, but whatever team that is that's going to come after him.
So the future without Lowry is going to look very different, obviously, from the Raptors' perspective. And Katie, one of the things that's hard to get a handle on, you and I have talked about this many times, is just what exact stage the Raptors are at You know, like, all right, they win the title in 2019, Kawhi leaves, but they have the second best record in the NBA in the COVID season and lose in seven games to Boston, so a pretty good year. Last year was a disaster. There's no question about it, but a lot of it was basically quasi-tanking to get the pick. So they wind up with a pretty good fourth overall pick. They still have Siakam. They have Freddie. They have OG. It's still a pretty good nucleus. They have the same coach, presuming Masai stays. How close is this team to being a upper level team? And I don't even want to get into the playoff team. I know your dog's upset about Lowry leaving, but I don't want to get into whether or not they can play in the playoffs. Can they be a top of the conference team anytime soon based on what we've got right now?
He is very upset. He's not taking this as well as your eye, obviously. I don't think so. I think that they can come back to say, like, you know, sit comfortably. I don't think we're looking at a Raptors team that's in the play-in tournament necessarily. I think they're kind of going to come back and sit comfortably somewhere in the maybe fifth or sixth spot, like if we want to cast ourselves that far ahead. But, you know, this is something that you and I have also talked about too, is that so long as Lowry is with the Raptors, no next gen Toronto team can really take shape. You know, Lowry will always be the leader and the fixed point of gravity for this team. And that's not a complaint. I think it's something that's been a reality Toronto's been lucky to have for this long. But Lowry, he's too great a force on and off court to not influence the culture, I think, of gameplay as well as chemistry. So when we talk about Raptors basketball, he is Raptors basketball, which is, I think, what makes looking ahead to this season add such a blind spot when we don't know necessarily, does that mean with him or without him? Because without him, you assume Fred VanVleet takes over. Maybe you have Malachi as a backup PG. You've got great development we saw last season with OG Anunoby. Pascal Siakam, assuming he stays, you know, like, this is a good core, and this is a core that we've been working towards seeing take over and kind of be like our full-time next-gen squad, but we've never got to really see them at full strength or full capacity without Kyle Lowry. So I think the team could move in several directions, but it's still really hard from where we're sitting to say decisively what that will be.
Well, that's indeed the case. And, you know, KD, regardless, you know, in his age 35 year, and everybody, you know, moves on at some point from any organization, but how the Raptors replace what Lowry brought in terms of his community involvement, his embracing of the city as an ambassador, cannot be understated. And especially in the case, you know, of the Raptors and a franchise, you know, they don't need any apologies. We all know what the Raptors are in Toronto. But for the rest of the NBA, that a primetime player embraces a city and wants to be there, and then he's gone, I think that makes it tough. I really do. That intangible thing is going to be the part that I'm going to miss the most if Kyle Lowry is gone after 6 o'clock. From the playing standpoint, at age 35, he wants to cash out. I got it. I don't even know, you know, even if it's a discount, is that the right way to go? I can live with that too. But the part that is going to be difficult is replacing what he means to the city and as a franchise icon. And I'm not so sure the Raptors, you know, I don't know how they can replace that, Katie. I don't know where the next Kyle Lowry is going to come from. I'll leave it at that, I guess.
I mean, I don't think there is the next Kyle Lowry. You know, Kyle Lowry is Kyle Lowry. And I wanted to say, can we just take a moment to appreciate, you know, that a player, I think, who has been as consistently undervalued in his career as Kyle Lowry is now the focal point of this free agency, the last trade deadline. And then in many ways, you know, this is going to make him the focal point of this upcoming season, as well as, like, wherever he goes, I think, and to shape the league. And I think, to me, that feels like a certain comeuppance and something that's due him, and that we in Toronto have, hopefully everyone in Toronto has known and appreciated, and I think will definitely come to know and appreciate when you see him, when you see a team that doesn't have his fingerprints all over it anymore. I think that's what makes it so bittersweet, is that we're ending, this will be an end of an era. You know, this will be an end of a certain type of era, and it's exciting because we get another generation of Raptors basketball to look forward to, but we shouldn't look for the next Kyle Lowry because there just isn't one.
No, that's a great perspective, 100% right there. Katie Heindel with us, writer for Dime Coast of the Dishes and Dimes podcast. I'm Roger Lajoie. Free agent day opens up in the NBA after 6 p.m. Kyle Lowry, the big decision. And Katie, I love your point about Lowry finally getting his due, even at the trade deadline. You know, there was conjecture, not here in Toronto, but, you know, in other U.S. centers where people are saying, well, how much is Kyle Lowry actually worth and what the piece is? And I saw some real big arguments about it in the United States. I'm thinking, how can anybody not see that Kyle Lowry is a significant piece of a franchise? Maybe he's not a particular fit for a particular franchise at any time, but that he finally is being treated as the star that he has been, and we've seen firsthand, is a terrific part of this. So whether or not Lowry moves on, moving in is Scottie Barnes. And Katie, back to the whole thing about embracing Toronto, gotta love the way that kid is all over being happy about being a Raptor.
I think it's adorable. And I think it's quite important too, you know, like this is the first top five pick that Toronto's had in quite a while. And to see him, I think, you know, for his birthday yesterday, they took him to the CN Tower as well as the Real Jerk. So, you know, and I don't think he took that Raptors hat off since draft night. I think he had it on for about 3 or 4 days, probably now going on even more straight. To see someone like that, who we are looking to as like a next gen type of player, be that excited about playing here. I mean, I hate to bring this back to Lowry, but it does go back to him and DeMar before him, you know, and that they made Toronto a franchise and a team that is now attractive, an attractive landing place for young stars to be. And not just because of, you know, the trappings of Toronto, but I think because of the developmental system, you know, all throughout workouts leading up to the draft, players were saying, you know, they New Toronto was a place where you went and you only get better. And I think that's a huge draw. So I think wherever we're looking, our future, and with Scottie Barnes, is extremely bright.
It is an encouraging thing to see somebody embrace the city. There's no doubt about it. And I guess I hope, you know, Katie, and we don't know the answer, but I do agree with you that Toronto's perception has improved, especially, hey, they win an NBA title in 2019. You see the crowds in Toronto, how incredible they are, how good the franchise is, and how they're treating players. And I hope that if it is indeed the day that Kyle Lowry departs, that that goodwill, that change perception of a lot of American-born players about Toronto is now something. It's all, listen, we're never going to be the Lakers or the Knicks because it's LA or New York. That's fine. But it still can be a destination in the same way that, hey, when LeBron's playing in Cleveland, everybody wants to play in Cleveland. When San Antonio is winning, everybody wants to play in San Antonio. It's not just about population. It's just about perception. And hopefully an icon like Lowry leaving doesn't change that. And it comes across of this is all about Lowry chasing a last contract than it is an organization that's cutting loose of an icon.
Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, another thing to mention just about the Toronto connection, and I think what players see really attractive about Toronto as a destination, is that it's a place where you don't need to kind of pay your dues and wait and bide your time and have the early part of your career be eclipsed by a big superstar, because you don't necessarily yet fit into the mix and fit into what the team is looking to develop. So, you know, Scottie Barnes is going to get substantial minutes this season, and you probably won't be able to say the same thing for every single rookie that was drafted this year, because, you know, you've seen it we saw it last year. I mean, it was a real all hands on deck situation in Tampa, but, you know, we got to see great Malachi minutes, great Gary Trent Jr. minutes. We got to see great Ken Birch minutes. Like, we saw all these guys come and it like immediately make a meaningful impact on the team. So I think that's quite attractive too, because Toronto means you're going to come and you're going to play and you're going to be relied upon, and you're coming here to work. And I do think that appeals to not every player, but of a really specific type of player that Toronto has carved out a niche for.
So what do you think, Katie, presuming Lowry does leave, and we'll see if it's a sign and trade, the value? I know it's a really arbitrary question to ask now, but it certainly merits. What's the shopping list? What's the need here for this team? I mean, there's still Siakam and Freddie and OG. The nucleus is good. You still have Nick Nurse. You still have Masai in the front office, at least for now. So the stability is there. The pieces are in place. You have the fourth overall pick, a defensive player, but nothing wrong with that whatsoever. What's next, do you think, after this goes down?
I mean, I would like to see some attention to that size deficit we saw last season. I'd love to see the team bring Kem back. He was a real difference maker, though he did have a short window to be that difference maker. I'd love to see what that looks like with a lot longer runway. If this is the case that we're talking around, that, you know, Lowry goes to Miami and Dragic comes to Toronto, which I'm worried for Goran Dragic if he does, because for so long he has been an enemy of Toronto Raptors fans. So we'll see if that works. But, you know, I think as we talked about earlier too, Fred is obviously going to be the guy in terms of being your PG. Is Malachi your backup? Sure. But I wonder if they don't look at the rest of the free agent market, because, you know, it's a huge field this season. I think you're looking at veterans, you know, like your Lou Williams, as well as DeMar DeRozan on the market. You're also looking at you kind of role players like Alex Caruso, Tim Hardaway Jr., John Collins, like these. It's a very interesting free agency. And I think the team that does best, and I think Toronto could fit in there, is the team that kind of picks and chooses some of these role player style players, and does well there, rather than, you know, kind of blowing it all on one or two of the big stars that are really available. And those stars are probably just going to sign back to the teams that they've declined options from. They're just looking for a little bit more security. So, I mean, I would love to see Toronto bring Gary Trent Jr. back. I mentioned Kem already. So I think, and like Yuta Watanabe as well, like there's a lot of guys that we saw flashes and flourishes from last season. And, you know, you and I talked at length about it, that it wasn't exactly the fairest measuring stick of a season to look at playmaking with. So I hope we get to see some of them back, and we get to see them make some more substantial contributions back in Toronto.
Well, you're absolutely right about the top of the list, players like Kawhi and Chris Paul winding up with the other teams, and a lot of the top tier free agents may wind up re-signing. So how much activity do you think we see tonight? Are we going to have one of those nights where there's all kind of stuff happening in the NBA, or is this going to be a little bit of a process, Katie?
Oh, God. You know, every summer I think I'm ready for it, and every summer I am wrong. I definitely unravel much quicker than I anticipate. But it does strike me that we'll see some of these really big deals get done very quickly. I do think Lowry is going to be one of them, whether that's with the Heat, which is what it looks like. That makes, the more I think about it, the more that does make sense to me. You know, we talked about it being a necessary measure of security for a contract there. But I also don't get mad at the guy for wanting to move someplace where he can golf all year round or ring chase, though I don't think that's exactly what he's doing. I think we'll probably see, I'm very curious to see where DeMar DeRozan ends up if the Spurs don't re-sign him. Patty Mills is another player that I think could wind up being super meaningful if someone can pull him away from the Spurs. Jared Allen, he's a player I would very selfishly love to see on Toronto. I don't know if the cap space can make that work. You know, we're going to get to see our beloved Norman Powell likely get a payday with the Blazers. I think this is going to be one of those free agency situations where just when you kind of heave a sigh of relief and think, okay, all the big trades are done and out of the way, something else is just going to come and totally take you out of the knees.
Yeah, there is always a surprise. It doesn't matter the sport or the free agency period. There's no doubt. Finally, before we let you go, Katie, we've seen the impact of returning to Toronto has made on the Blue Jays already. And I know they beat up on a pretty bad Kansas City team, but at the end of the day, the emotion of the players to be back home finally is something. And we haven't talked about it a lot because there has been no developments, obviously, with the Raptors and the Leafs. I mean, the Leafs were back home, but in front of no fans. But for the Raptors, come October, fingers crossed and everything crossed that, you know, we are back to some degree of normalcy, that is going to make such a pronounced difference for this franchise, 100%. But it's worth repeating, Katie, this team is just like the other Toronto teams, has not played in front of its home fans. And like the Jays, they haven't been in their own country. And if Kyle Lowry is one, and other players are saying they miss driving on the Gardner, by the way, that'll end in about 30 seconds. They won't mind miss driving on the Gardner once they're back on the Gardner, presuming it's open. But you know the psychological impact and boost this franchise is going to get just being home, for heaven's sakes.
Absolutely. And I mean, you also think about it as a lot of the, I mean, if we're looking at potentially, what, like 70, maybe 65% of the team has not yet even played in Toronto, has not had that experience. You know, they've only known the Tampa Raptors, which is a dark thing to say for them. So I love the idea, you know, that so many of these new faces, and Scottie Barnes being one of them, you know, they think they've maybe felt some fan appreciation and love from afar. When they get in front, you know, even if we're looking at lower numbers in the arena, when they still get in front of fans in the arena within that space, the atmosphere is going to be out of control. Also, because I think fans are just so deprived of that experience of just seeing this team play in person. So the energy, I for one hope to be there, but the energy is going to be, you know, off the charts and out of control. And it is something that does give me goosebumps a little bit when I think about it. So it's going to be a huge difference maker this season. Absolutely.
Yeah, we've seen it with the Blue Jays. It'll be the same for the Raptors finally as well. Can't wait for it to come about. Katie Heindel is a writer for Dime, co-host of the Dishes and Dimes podcast, joins us on a regular basis on Sportsnet Today, which we always appreciate, Katie. Thank you. Stay safe and well.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. That's Katie Heindel. I'm Roger Lajoie. So 5 hours, 39 minutes. And let the madness begin. How quickly does it happen? Does it happen tonight? Does it happen at all? Is there any chance the Raptors? Are we being uncharitable to say it's a foregone conclusion that Kyle Lowry is going? And would you want him to stay? That's a question. And a lot of you are in the camp of, you know what? Not only you think it's okay, you think it's time to move on. That's the subject of our poll. 338 votes in. So far, 45.9% of you say it's okay. Lowry leaves. He's earned a big deal. Off he goes. 35.8% say it's time to move on from him. Interesting. And 18.3% are sad. And you think he should stay. He's an age 35 year. If he said to the Raptors, I'm taking a hometown discount. I want to finish my career here. I want to be treated with full respect, and I want some term on it. Are you good with that? Is that just a no-brainer slam dunk? Not according to 35.8% of you. You say, no, it is time to move on. And how good is this team? How good can they be if they did retain Lowry and bring him back? Is it the right thing to do when you're a 35-year-old? Or should it be somewhere else at this time? There's no black or white on this one. There's a lot of shades of gray in this one. At Theraj590 on Twitter, give us your comment. I'll read them. Text 590-590 with your name or location. Email Roger at sportsnet590.ca. It is always great to get your feedback. We're going to get some great Olympic feedback from Scott Russell, legendary host at CBC, author of a couple of books. What a morning already at the Olympics. We'll check in with Scott in moments. I'm Roger Lajoie. This is Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Today on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, I'm Roger Lajoie here until 1 o'clock. Baseball Central is coming up with Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker. Then Blue Jay Baseball is coming up. Cleveland and the Blue Jays, first of game of the series after a three-game series sweep. And people are having a fantastic time in the ballpark. It is so great to be back at Rogers Center. I had the pleasure, honor of being the official scorer on both Friday and Saturday night, and they were terrific experiences. And I tweeted about it saying, you know, you don't know what you got till it's gone sometimes. You just don't realize how terrific it is to be in the ballpark and to be with people again. And hopefully all of this COVID situation gives us a increased appreciation and gratitude for the great things we have, that a lot of which were taken away from us for the past 16 and a half, almost 17 months now. Great to be back in the ballpark. If you're going down, stay safe, stay healthy, and enjoy the ballpark. And we'll see if the Jays can keep it going. Your comments, still welcome. Got time to get them in. And you can do that by email, Roger at sportsnet590.ca, text 590-590, or on Twitter, at TheRaj590. Barb emails in. Barb, great to hear from you. Barb says, if Kyle Lowry is to let go, the Raptor organization is telling the fans they don't expect to win it all in the next few years, the term of his next contract, that is. Barb, thanks very much. I think the Raptors definitely want to, would like to retain him. I do believe that, Barb, and I don't think it's a case of letting him go. I just don't feel they think they should be paying Kyle Lowry $30 million a year on a long-term contract in their big picture piece of rolling in this team. I think that is the crunch part. I think that's the difficulty there. So I don't think it's so much that they're admitting, well, we're not going to be good, so let's get rid of Kyle Lowry. I think they think there are other ways to do it. And this will come down to money. Listen, don't most contracts eventually, one way or another, come down to money at any stage of the game? But especially in his situation right now, he wants a big payday, and the Raptors are not in the position to give him that kind of big payday. That's the way I see that one. But Barb, thank you. It is great to hear from you. Great to everybody who's weighing in on Twitter at the Raj 590. Our poll, most of you are just fine with Kyle Lowry going. In fact, 46.5% of you say it's okay. He's earned a big deal. 35.4% say it's time to move on from him. And 18.1% say sad. You think he should stay. We'll read some of your comments. Poll has gone final. Thanks to everybody who participated in the poll today. The Olympics have been terrific, aren't they always? Scott Russell joins us now, and Scott has several books out, including The Rink, Ice Time, and Open House. CBC Sports as well joining us to chat. Scott, great to visit with you, my friend. Hope you are safe and well. And hey, we got to start with the Canadian women's teams, women's basketball and women's soccer. Scott, you talk about a tale of two very different emotions on the performances of those teams at these Olympics.
Oh, absolutely, Roger. I mean, I would say that it would be tremendous disappointment on the part of the Canadian women's basketball team. I know that Kia Nurse and the entire team were very much hoping that they would move on and have a chance to play for a medal, but they were in a very tough opening group with Spain and Serbia, who had won medals at the last Olympic Games in Rio. And, you know, as Megan McPeak and Dan Shulman have been talking about throughout the tournament, FIBA basketball is very different from the WNBA. Same thing, NBA and FIBA basketball. These players are big. They play a different style of game. The ball moves very quickly. You can't rely on shooting threes all night long, because if they don't go in, you've got to get inside. So it's a disappointment for that Canadian women's basketball team, and they allowed themselves to have their fate put in the hands of others, and you can't rely on Puerto Rico when a team like Australia is very hungry like that. So, yes, that's a big disappointment. On the women's soccer side, wow, that's a great victory. Over the last 20 years, the United States has dominated the Canadians. A classy move by Christine Sinclair to hand the ball to Jessie Fleming, and she puts away the penalty kick, and Canada is through to the medal match for gold. So that's an enormous story.
Enormous story indeed, and basically the women have been the enormous story of the entire Olympics, Scott. So many of Canada's medals being won by female athletes, and one of the many great things of the Olympics is, let's face it, you know, I mean, it gives women's sports an equal, and in this case, superior stage for people to really appreciate the quality of competition, the level of dedication, and in this case, of course, for Canada, the success of female athletes. Not to say they don't normally get it, but they don't get it to this extent. And that's a feel-good story in and of itself, is it not?
Well, it certainly is, and it's a harbinger of good things to come for sport in general, certainly for the Olympic movement. As you know, Roger, for the first time in history, the games are gender equal. The same number of women are competing here as men. And that's a step forward for the Olympic movement. And I really like what you say. It's about the quality of competition. I mean, the intensity of competition is the same and is the thing that we appreciate. Doesn't matter if it's a woman playing or if it's a man playing. And I will tell you that the Canadians have responded incredibly well to that. I mean, who can deny how excited we get as a country when we watch people like Kylie Moss and Penny Oleksiak and Maggie McNeil and 14-year-old Summer McIntosh get into the pool and put it all on the line? I mean, that's just great sport. And that's what the Olympic Games are all about. I don't care if it's a man or a woman.
Well said, sir. Scott Russell is the host of Olympic Games Primetime for the Tokyo Games. He's also the author of The Rink, Ice Time, and Open. I'm Roger Lajoie as we talk about what has been an incredible Olympics, especially for Canadian women. What do we say about Penny at such a young age becoming the all-time leader in number of medals won at an Olympics? I mean, just another fantastic story, Scott.
You know, you talk about a big game player, Roger. That's what Penny Oleksiak is. She loves to be put in those situations where she is counted upon and she delivers on demand. You know, she's always the anchor of the relay, whether it's a medley relay, the 4x200, the 4x100, and more often than not, Penny Oleksiak brings it home. You know, she created such huge expectations for herself when, as a 16-year-old, she won those four medals in Rio. That was 5 years ago. In the interim, you know, people had said she struggled. Perhaps she was having difficulty dealing with those pressures and expectations. And then at the Olympic trials at the National Center in Toronto in late May, early June, you know, she comes through and posts the best time she'd had in many seasons. And then she gets to the Olympic Games and revels in the competition, revels in being at that place at that time, and, you know, absolutely fantastic, delivers yet again. She's a fantastic athlete.
Well, and Scott, you know, it bears repeating when you see someone like that, because there has been, and rightfully so, don't get me wrong, a great attention on, you know, mental health and how the challenges can get to some people and how difficult it is. And I'm glad that people can admit that and deal with it. But when you see the mental toughness of her, and even after, you know, she doesn't get it the first time, it's automatically, well, it's just going to make it that much sweeter when we get the medal the next race. It's like that fortitude is just incredible. And it's got to affect the whole team, Scott, because one thing, people can say what they want about momentum, but when you're an Olympic village and you've been around the Olympics in your great career for a long time, the momentum of your teammates and other teams and sports doing well is something that thrives on it. You know, you may be competing in different sports, but you're all competing for Canada's flag, and having her on the Canadian team must be such a great thing for any Canadian athlete.
I agree 100%, Roger. She is an athlete that rises to the occasion and raises the level of every other Canadian athlete's performance because, quite frankly, and I know it may sound cliche, but she's a very inspiring person by virtue of her performance. You know, she doesn't just talk the talk. She walks the walk. She says, I am capable of this, and then she delivers. But, you know, she's not the only one on that swim team, Roger. I think about Kylie Moss, the two-time world champion in the 100-meter backstroke. She delivers upon demand. Okay, it was a silver medal in the 100 and the 200 back, but Kylie Moss is consistently delivering podium performances at the world championship and Olympic level, and she does it without a lot of fanfare. But her example is one of leadership. And I think that you can't underestimate the power of that and how it affects the entire Canadian Olympic team.
No, bang on there for sure. Andre DeGrasse is an inspiring story. He's had to overcome so many injuries as well, had the best time in the qualifier, and then that electric race where he won the bronze medal. It was an extreme, you know, just getting to the Olympics again after what DeGrasse had to face was incredible. And the performance in the race was terrific. What did you think, Scott?
Well, this is an example of a guy who is totally committed to his sport. He's committed to his family. He's a young father. He has three children. He is a well-rounded individual, and I think Mark Lee put it so well when he noted that every time Andre DeGrasse has appeared in a world championship or Olympic final, he has come away with a podium performance. He's 8 for 8 over the course of his career, and that extends back to 2015 when he broke onto the scene at the Pan American Games in Toronto and then at the World Championships in Beijing. Andre DeGrasse, when he gets to the line in a final, is able to deliver that podium performance. I remember meeting him for the first time in Moncton for the trials for the Commonwealth Games. And, you know, a lot of people were unaware of the capability of this guy and the potential that he had. Soft-spoken, very deferential, a very polite person. But, wow, he has the ability to deliver on the biggest stage of all, and I have all the respect in the world for Andre DeGrasse.
Well said, and inspirational story indeed. So, you know, this starting to look like the Rio Games 5 years ago. When you look at it, Canada won 22 medals. It was the women winning the majority of them, the swim team leading the way. As we head into the final week of competition, Scott, what's the expectations of future medals? We know, of course, the women's team will be playing for the gold medal. Is Team Canada on track based on expectations?
I think they are on track, Roger. You know, we're at 14 medals right now for Team Canada, won by a man, that's Andre DeGrasse. But there is potential to get to that magic number of 22 that they achieved in Rio and that they also achieved in Atlanta in 1996. And you know, if they get beyond that, it's a high water mark at a non-boycotted games for the Canadians. They won, I believe, 41 medals in Los Angeles in 1984, but that was a boycotted game, so the circumstances were different. I think there's potential there. We know that there is going to be a medal in women's football. There is likely to be a medal in beach volleyball. Both the world champion Sarah Pavin and Melissa Jimena Paredes are through to the quarterfinals, and the other team of Brandi Wilkerson and Heather Bansley is also through. So that's a lot of potential right there. Don't forget about Damian Warner, the great track decathlete. I mean, he's won the hypo meeting at Götzis again. He's very close to 9,000 points. He's probably going in as a favorite to win a medal for sure. Pierce Lepage, who is the second Canadian decathlete, is right there, top five at the World Championships and has all the ability in the world. Megan Benfato, the platform diver, there's medal potential there. Velodrome cycling is still to come. The Canadian women in the team pursuit could be a factor. So there is medal potential still out there for the Canadians as we head down the stretch. It's been a very encouraging games for the Canadian team.
Well, it'll be exciting as it comes down to the stretch. Scott Russell is a host of the Olympic Games Primetime for the Tokyo Games. I'm Roger Lajoie. So we saw skateboarding, 3-on-3 basketball, other sports making their Olympic debut. What do you think of the movement overall, Scott, in terms of these new sports coming in and your overall assessment of the Olympics? Because let's face it, we cannot conclude a conversation about the Olympics without mentioning Tokyo, COVID, the challenges that have come, incorporating these new sports and then trying to deal with this deadly virus. What's your overall perception of what we've seen in Tokyo so far?
Well, I think that the great tragedy would have been if they didn't try. And I think that they have indeed tried to host the Olympics. And beyond that, they have succeeded in hosting the Olympics. Here we are at day 11 of competition. Yes, we've had to deal with a worldwide pandemic. Yes, the restrictions have been very tight. Yes, the athletes have not been able to enjoy the aura of the Olympic city. However, the focus has been on sport. It has been on high-performance sport. I think skateboarding has made a big impact. It's very popular in Japan. It's certainly very popular with a generation of people who are aspiring high-performance sports competitors. And so I think skateboarding will have a big upside, much as snowboarding did in terms of winter sport. You know what? I think the organizers have done a fantastic job. The venues look spectacular. The only shame is that spectators cannot be in those venues. But, boy, the Olympic movement has faced a watershed moment, and I think they have succeeded in ensuring that the movement goes on and that the games continue. And everybody's put a great deal of work into this, but it's like the founder of the modern Olympic Games said, Roger, in the Olympics as in life, it's not the victory that matters most, it's the struggle, it's the taking part, and that's what we all did. We took part here.
That's a great way to phrase it, Scott, without question. Check out day 11 of the Olympic Games in Tokyo across Sportsnet and CBC. Scheduled on Sportsnet, you can catch volleyball, beach volleyball, canoe sprint, and wrestling, all starting at 8 p.m. tonight, right through to the end of the week as the Olympics continue on the Olympic Games Primetime. Scott Russell is the host of Olympic Games Primetime for the Tokyo Games, also the author of The Rink, Ice Time, and Open. Scott, a pleasure to talk to you. Stay safe and well, and thank you so much for getting us caught up on the Olympics. You're the best.
Thanks, Roger. Take care.
You too. Scott Russell joining us. Great stuff. I will frankly admit, I was not enamored with the Olympic Games taking place. And I hope I'm not jinxing anything. I certainly hope there are no other, you know, repercussions, COVID or otherwise, in these Olympic Games. But the organizers, to Scott's point, deserve full credit. They do. They had to deal with it. It was difficult. And it's done. And I love the way he brings up the point. The Olympics is not all about the competition anyway. It's a struggle to get there. Well, it sure was a struggle to even have the Olympics this year. And it has produced a lot of great memories. The Canadian women's gold medal game, primetime. Turns out nice. Thursday night, 10 o'clock is primetime. 10 o'clock Eastern primetime as Canada will go for the gold. Canada on track to equal or perhaps exceed the 22 medals they had in Rio and in Atlanta. So some fun times ahead watching the Canadian Olympians coming down the stretch. You've had so many comments about the potential departure of Kyle Lowry. That has been the big story of the day here on Sportsnet today. We're going to read your final text and comments and get you ready for Baseball Central in moments. I'm Roger Lajoie, and this is Sportsnet 590 The Fan. On Sportsnet 590 Fan, I'm Roger Lajoie. Great to be with you the last 4 hours. Coming up at the top of the hour, in about 10 minutes' time, we have Baseball Central, Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker. Then we have Blue Jay Baseball. Cleveland baseball team, soon to be known as the Cleveland Guardians, taking on the Toronto Blue Jays. First pitch, 3:07. Ben Wagner has the call from the Rogers Centre booth. I'm getting chills just saying that. I was there Friday and Saturday, and it was so great. Thanks to all of you who participated in our poll. Wanted to mention Carl on email wants to know who's spinning the tunes today on your station. That is Danielle Furtado, our technical director, and it's my playlist, kind of. So I'm glad you're liking the music we're trotting out here today. Okay, so we got a few minutes to catch up on these texts. Boy, this is going to be a great topic all week. No matter what happens with Kyle Lowry, the rest of the way, this is going to be news big time. Here we go. Jamal in Scarborough says, happy Caravana weekend, Rod. Did you see the pictures of Scotty Barnes at the Real Jerk? Yes, I did. Scotty Barnes is in Toronto meeting Drake. Jalen Suggs is in Orlando meeting Mickey Mouse. Well said, Jamal. Who says Toronto's not cool? Who says Toronto's not the place to be? Anybody who says that hasn't been to Toronto. This is a world-class city. Let's stop apologizing that we're not an American city. Let's be proud of that more often. Way to go, Jamal. Ineo in Richmond Hill says, Lowry, it's time to go. $25 million for a 35-year-old on this team is poor asset management. Also, I'm tired of hearing we owe him. This is how teams get into a bad cap spot and get really bad. Get what you can for him. Ineo, that is a fair comment. Appreciate it. Chris in Peterborough says, Roger, just a thought. Lowry, DeRozan, and Kawhi are all free agents. Raptors super team, anyone? Chris in Peterborough, would that not be fun, doing that one more time, get everybody on the one-year deals? It won't happen, but it is a nice thought, sir. Thank you. Chris in Calgary says, Roger, it'll be a win thing if Kyle stays or leaves. The Raptors will be in the playoffs with or without him. We have the best coach and GM. The Raptors will be okay. Chris, thank you. You know, it is a great point, and one maybe we don't talk enough about. From time to time, to tell you the truth, is it's a great organization. It's a beautiful city. The management is great. The ownership is solid. They are backing the team. Masai is terrific. Nurse is a great coach. That's where it starts. If your organization and pieces are in place, not that the players are interchangeable, but you know you're going to be okay. So agreed, 100%, Chris. That is a great comment. John in Oshawa says, get rid of Kyle. It's time for him to go. We need new young blood and hungry players for a good run down the road for championships. Thanks, Kyle, but start the bus. John, thank you. Well, I wouldn't be that critical sounding of him. But is it time? Hey, listen, a good chunk of you think it's just time to move on, period, from him. But he's done a lot for the city, John. He's been a great player. And if it's so long, it should be a nice one. But I appreciate your text, sir. Stay well. Rick in Mimico says, Roger, what are your thoughts on the OHL returning after a year and a few months off? Definitely has been a hole in the sports landscape for me. Go Knights. Rick in Mimico, I can't wait for the return of all amateur sports, in particular the OHL. Cannot wait for that, and what a great time that's going to be. Those kids have been through so much, so much appreciated. And yeah, let's go Knights go for sure. Bradley in Toronto says, Raj, love your reference to the Cleveland baseball team. I have tickets for Wednesday's game, and we will already be booing the Guardians. Bradley, thank you. Don't want to like get into the whole politics of it again, but the name change was it was overdue. It was overdue, and maybe baseball should really read the room a little bit more and a little bit quicker. That's for sure. We're out of time. Not enough time for all the texts, but we had so many today, which we appreciate. Our great audience, even here on a holiday Monday, continuing to flood our text lines. Much, much appreciated. We do these shows for you. The shows would not be possible without the work of our fine technical director, Danielle Furtado. Danielle, thank you, and great music choices today. And J.R. Manited, our producer, working the holiday and doing a fantastic job as well. I'm done, but stick around because we have plenty to come on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. We have Baseball Central with Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker on the way, followed by Blue Jays baseball, the Cleveland baseball team, soon to be known as Guardians, taking on the Toronto Blue Jays. Enjoy the ball game, everybody. Have a great holiday Monday. Stay safe and well. Follow me on Twitter at TheRaj590. I'll talk to you soon. Thanks for listening to Sportsnet today on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.